him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flushes in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Maury Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the King Booker, to my Charmel, Matt Scott. How's it going?
King Matt Scott here at your service, and I am happy to be here to talk about WrestleMania.
Got it. Perfect. And we're so glad to have you here, Matt. King Matt, King Booker. Stop with the accent, though. It was great. It was good.
You started it.
It was great. It was great. It was on par with Queen Zelina, your fave. So I think it was pretty
Queen
good.
Queen Zelina from Brooklyn.
Love it. And we have a special guest here, Matt. Will you do the honors?
Yes. Let me. Just shake it out. Shake out the cobwebs in this voice. You know, you there never you know. I can't switch from the King Booker to the...
You should have dropped it.
In no time. But making her way to the podcast, please welcome, with a BA in Journalism and Media Studies, she's a wine connoisseur. Some might say a sommelier like Reggie. Shout out to Reggie. She's a wrestling wizard. She's a Bianca stan, a Nail Mob member, Sasha Crew. She sits at Roman Reigns' table. Thunder Rosa fan, Wardlow fan, Jade Cargill fan. She knows the assignment. Please welcome the laudable, lovely, lethal... give me more L words, Mari. Welcome. Someone who's ready to wind up as we wind down. Low from wrestling, wind down.
I love it.
Like that. It's like a little bit Val Venus-y.
That was great.
Yeah, I was trying to evoke the Vegas of it all. Low, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. Yes. Yeah. And we're so glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. I was so between Matt's introduction, my tag team line, and me just totally rocking out to the theme song, forgetting to start the podcast, I think this is going to be a good show. We are so blessed and highly favored to have Lo from the Wrestling Wind Down with us this week. I mean, yes. Lo, I cannot tell you like how much I love your platform. I love Wrestling Wind Down. I love what you do on Twitter, and like we are so glad you like agreed to come and be a guest here with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think the other thing too is just to add to everything Mari said, it's so great. Like one of my favorite wrestling Twitter follows, just because it is so like us in terms of like just, and I even talked through all the people that you mentioned standing and all that. And so, look, we go together is what I don't know if I'll make it through the podcast today, to be honest, but I'll do it for you, Lo.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God.
Yeah.
I am so done. Lo, for our listeners who may not be familiar with your like body of work, can you explain like what you do, like who you create content for, like what is your brand per se?
So Wrestling Wine Down is a wrestling podcast that focuses on professional wrestling and wine. We started about 3 years ago now. I was still in college, and I paired up with one of my friends who I had no idea liked wrestling at the time. I was on Twitter, on my personal Twitter, and she had tweeted about Raw, and I was like, oh, you like wrestling? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, interesting. This is around the time that I kind of had started watching again. So I wasn't like as in it as I am now, but we just decided, hey, you know, let's do a podcast. We both went to school for journalism and media studies. So we started recording, probably our first like 20 or 30 episodes were at the school. So, wow. Yeah, so we started at UNLV recording and, you know, we just kind of took off from there. She That's stepped amazing. Away. Yeah, she stepped away. She moved to Seattle. She does her own thing now. So I'm pretty much like the whole shebang, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I have people that some of my friends that take like my photos, you know, does video work, graphic design in terms of like my logo. I try and use all females. So right now it's like a team of 2 to 3. I just brought in actually Iridian Fear of the Rest Friends podcast, who is a really close friend of mine. She is my media strategist. So, you know, we send stuff back and forth together, but I'm like, you know what? I think you need a title because you're doing a lot of work here. So.
Oh, not amazing. The title. Yeah, that's, no, that's like, such a wrestling give a thing. Title. Give her the title.
But yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for about 3 years now. And, you know, while we do focus on wrestling, sorry, I'm trying to grab my charger.
No, it's okay.
No, yeah. Yeah. And I'll also just say, even as you talk that about that to interrupt for a second, one, as you talked about the show, it's the most wrestling thing ever. I don't want to steal RVD's gimmick, but it sounds like right now you are the whole effing show plus the guests that you bring in, all that. I just wanted to jump in and say that in real time. I had to get that off my chest, as Thank Mari you. Knows. Mm-hmm. Tell us more. Keep going. Like, this is, it's awesome to kind of hear your story, hear the journey. Yes. I mentioned some of your faves, but kind of like, where are things now with the podcast, and kind of, are there any highlights you want to mention before we dive into welcoming you to the Wrestling Wrap Up experience?
Right now, I think I just uploaded our 76th episode, so we're getting close to 100, which is really good. You know, I've been able to incorporate a lot of individuals both inside and outside of the ring. One of my proudest interviews was with Lisa Marie Varon, also known as Victoria. That was last year around this time. Absolutely incredible. And
yes,
hopefully I can meet her at WrestleCon, because I feel like that would be a full circle moment. But I've had graphic designers, I've had photographers, other podcasters, influencers, just so many people, both men and women, that I've been able to spotlight that, you know, have been very good. And, you know, I'm really excited to see where the podcast goes and the other people that I work with. I'm really proud that, you know, I do incorporate some wine education in there. There's a local company here called Twinkle Toast. There are two ladies and they come on and they give wine recommendations. You know, they do wine education. A lot of wrestling fans typically don't drink wine, from what I've noticed. There are a lot of beer drinkers or hard alcohol. So, you know, bringing in that wine element for me, I feel like, you know, after you have a long week, you kind of just want to sit back and, you know, drink a glass of wine and catch up on wrestling. And that was kind of like our mentality going into the podcast. We wanted to do something a little bit different. One, we didn't see a lot of female podcasters in the wrestling community, so we wanted to bring that to the table. But we also wanted to do something different. We wanted to have something special about us, just not talking about wrestling all the time, but bringing in you know, another element that people could possibly relate to.
That's awesome. And and that's on the nose. You're talking to two people who drank Froze's at Brooklyn when we went to Survivor Series.
Don't
in
expose
Brooklyn
expose me, come on. Not a froze. We did think froze. That's a good point. You know what, though? I will say, well, actually, it's a question for you, Lo. So, you know, you are the host of Wrestling Wine Down. We know that you love wine. Number one, how did you feel about Reggie coming on the scene last year as the sommelier? But also, how do you feel about Stone Cold coming back with his love of beer? Do you feel like that's going to affect the wrestling community's drinking preferences in one way or the other?
I feel like Reggie is not experienced enough, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Honestly, I felt like in the storylines that I saw with Reggie, I feel like he was an addition to a lot of the women that didn't really need backup. And I didn't like that he was taking the spotlight from a lot of the women. So that was kind of my issue with him. In terms of Stone Cold, obviously, I love Stone Cold. I based my merch off of him.
Yes.
But, love it. You know, yeah, I feel like a lot of fans do like beer and, you know, he has his beer and stuff like that. But there, you know, there's a lot of fans who I've realized now that do like to enjoy wine. Like, I did like this bracket last week and asked people what, you know, what wine would win. And they were like, oh, this wine, that wine. I'm like, oh, okay, you guys do like wine. You just don't say anything. But, you know, there's people out there. They, you know, they like a good red wine, or they like a, you know, a champagne, fancy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think, honestly, I love when Stone Cold comes back. Like, he's one of my favorite wrestlers. And,
yes,
you know, he's going to be at WrestleMania. So I'm really excited to be able to actually see him for the first time live.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think we've asked you to like dive more into that, but you'll be at WrestleMania.
Yes.
At WrestleCon. You mentioned WrestleCon, but like, what are you excited about for the weekend? I have so many questions.
I
feel
I was about to plug her last podcast. The guide to WrestleMania. So yeah, tell us exactly. Tell us a little bit about it, but you know, save the good stuff so they go to that.
So it features Iridian Fiero, the Rest Friends podcast, who I'll be going with, as well as Brittany Sacco, who's a wrestling influencer and one of my friends out here in Vegas. And Brittany's been to WrestleManias before. She's been to about 3 or 4, and this is me and Iridian's first time. So I wanted to have a guide where, you know, people that have been before might learn something new, but also fans that haven't been before can get the most knowledge that you probably won't find like on a website. You might hear it from your friend, but we wanted it to just be like, you know, here's what it is, you know, what to go to, what to wear. Cause I mean, we're going to be at Wale Mania, but what the hell do you wear to Wale Mania? Yeah. Like, you got to know this stuff. So, great episode, not too long. You know, people can kind of pack and maybe listen to it, or, you know, maybe go shop for their stuff if they're last minute, like I am, and go, you know, maybe have that on in the car and be like, oh, okay, I probably should, you know, get a good walking shoes or like a portable charger, you know, the necessities that you need to bring to WrestleMania. So yes, definitely go check that out. We have the audio version, which is up on Wrestling Wind Down, and the video version is up on the Rest Friends podcast YouTube.
Nice. I did get to listen to a little bit of it. I don't think I realized that it was both your first time going to WrestleMania, but the tips, I was like, yes, you know, right those tips down.
Yeah.
Because me and my husband, we went to, we were in New Orleans WrestleMania weekend, but we went, in 2018, but we went to the takeover, that Saturday. And then we went to a WrestleMania watch party on Sunday. I've already told the story on the podcast, but it was a very awkward watch party because it was hosted by Buff Bagwell. It was
very random.
Was his mom there?
Very
Judy
random.
Bagwell.
It was weird down. Like, we pay for the tickets. We pay for like the regular tickets just to like be able to be in the bar and watch it. Like, we wanted to be on, like, in the French Quarter watching WrestleMania, and, you know, not in the stadium really. But because so many, like, and then it was regular tickets and VIP tickets. Like, oh, you can watch with Buff. Because he didn't sell enough like tickets, period, they just let everybody go up to the VIP section to be with him and watch it with him. And I did not. It was so bad. I was like, can I go back downstairs? Because this is so weird.
Can I go back downstairs? Sorry, I just have to pull up a picture of Buff Bagwell.
Yes.
And if you're not watching the YouTube version,
I gotta send y'all the picture I have with him that we took with
him. You're missing out. Send
me
the
picture. We love a good handlebar mustache.
Yeah, Mari, if you send me the picture, maybe it'll be on the podcast. Who knows?
Yeah, but that one, yeah, it's amazing. And like, one day, I want to go one day. I want to. You'll have to tell us, maybe come back and tell us what your experience was with it, Lo, because my biggest fear is just buying like a ticket and not be able to see anything.
Yeah.
And I think it's for the experience anyways. It doesn't even really matter.
Exactly. But there's like a whole experience as you talk through. So I'm curious. I have to listen to your like that podcast episode just to like take it all in to understand what it's like, because it does seem chaotic. And also in my head for like the last 10, 15 years, I've thought, oh my God, I would love to go, but like, and I don't know how it would happen. Wrestling gods look down on me, or what, I don't even know. But front row tickets at Mania would be like dream.
Oh, absolutely. That is so much. It is so,
yeah,
it is so much.
It's
like,
possible.
It's like, and the way that they did the tickets was just a mess. Like, you have to go back into the queue different times to actually pick tickets that you want. They kept giving me risers, and I heard that the risers are not comfortable. So I'm like continually on SeatGeek, like pressing it over and over again.
Oh,
I think I finally got the tickets that we wanted. I had probably put like 30 pairs back. So wow. it involves patience. Like, yeah. Also, I forgot yeah. what else we bought tickets for. We bought tickets for something else.
Another event?
It was for Double or Nothing. I bought tickets for recently. Oh. And oh.
yeah.
same type of thing, even though it was a different mm-hmm. website, same type of thing. They populate or they randomize what tickets you get. And oh. you have to keep on putting them back, keep on putting them back. Like, I was talking to Al from Kayfabe Queens, and yeah. she's like, I keep getting 200s. Like, I can't get anything like below the 200s. So I was trying to go in myself and try and help her, and I ended up finding something, but that was a mess too. I'm like, why can't you just like tell people, like, would you like to sit here? Would you like to sit there? Here are the options. You just choose. No, they like randomize it.
Is that just is that just for like the big ticket ones? Because we've been to like I've been to Survivor Series, SummerSlams, all of those. I've yeah. been to all the other like big four. I've been to the Royal Rumble, and I mm-hmm. who was I using? Ticketmaster? I don't know.
Ticketmaster?
I don't know. I always got to pick my seats. Maybe it was reseller. That's probably why.
I think they're trying to divert the people that, you know, sell them for like three times the price. So they think maybe they won't have patience.
That makes sense.
But this is all really interesting to hear too, because we know, like, for our podcast, there are a number of people who listen who were either like lapsed fans. So they were fans growing up and like are just getting back into wrestling through the podcast. Cause we talk about it in a way that's like very mm-hmm. much explaining so much of what is happening and like good for casual fans. And then there are also people who are just becoming fans really that listen to the podcast over the last year. And so I don't know, it's all interesting. It's interesting to hear the insight. Again, recommend the Ultimate Fan Guide to WrestleMania for folks who are just curious what even like going to a wrestling event. Like, this is like a wrestling event on steroids. But you know what I mean? Like, this is that. And so I'm pumped. I'm pumped to tune in and get all the tips.
And that makes a good point. Like, we, again, one of the reasons why we're glad to have you here is we feel a kindred spirit to you, because we started the Wrestling Rehab up because the same type of reasons. We didn't see like marginalized voices as present in this community as much as like the normal voices. And not only that, but we wanted to create this space in order to make wrestling accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. Like Matt said, we have listeners who literally just listen to us. They don't watch any wrestling. We have the casuals, we have the hardcore, you know, all of that. And we try to make it feel like anybody can watch. And, you know, you can always find something that's for you in wrestling, and you don't have to try and stick to one thing. Because, you know, with communities, the biggest thing is gatekeeping sometimes.
Gatekeeping.
And that's the exact opposite of what we're trying to do over here. So that's one of the things why we really feel connected. And we, again, so appreciate you being here with us, even if you didn't know it until right this very second.
Thank you.
And thank you for including me on your Women's History Month thread. That really meant a lot to me.
Aww.
Yeah. All right, let's stop.
Yeah, we get too caught up in the thank yous sometimes.
Let's get to the news. Yes, exactly. Let's get to the news. So first up, like, it came down, I'm pretty sure it was yesterday, Friday, late Thursday maybe, that Triple H is retiring from in-ring competition. And from what we heard of, it's because of his like heart condition. He had a heart condition. Which is like, it's a sad loss, because Triple H is one of those people, like, I can't remember what his last match was, but he always felt like one of those people who would go out in a big, like, have that match to say, like, I'm done. And I don't necessarily know if he did that, at least, like, I can't even remember. Anybody remember what his last, like, in-ring match was?
Yes, his last in-ring match was with Randy Orton. I believe it was... it wasn't in the US, it was somewhere else. I saw a picture of it.
Yeah.
So,
The one I remember, and maybe this wasn't the last one, was from the Saudi Arabia show when it was Triple H and Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker. Was it Undertaker and Kane, really?
Yes.
That sounds so bizarre, knowing that that was only like maybe three years ago. But yeah, I mean, that's the one I remember, but I don't know what else he's been up to since then.
So definitely like, you know, our... Thank yous. Yeah, I was like, wait, he's still here. So our thank yous to Triple H for all that he's done, you know, and it sucks. It just sucks that you don't get to go out on your own terms, you know. That's the biggest thing, I would assume.
Yeah.
When you're a wrestler or you're any type of sports, you know, any type of sports, you want to kind of go out on your own terms. And at least hopefully he'll stay behind the scenes. I guess, you know, you never know what's truly going on back there, but you know. Our many thank yous to Triple H.
And it sounds like to what Lo was saying, by the way, that there was a brawl in I can't believe that this was only last year, January 2021. Triple H and Randy Orton kind of had, I don't know if it was an unsanctioned match or whatever they did, but it was something to that effect. And then they fought in the main event. Ended in no contest, and that was just over a year
ago. That sounds vaguely familiar.
Vaguely familiar.
Vaguely.
Even reading it, I'm like, we definitely talked about this on the podcast. So, time.
Well, time is, yeah. It is. It is very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Next up, I just briefly want to talk about WWE Evil premiered on Peacock. This week, and it is a great show. I got to watch all of the Sasha Banks one because, of course, the moment they put anything with Sasha that's product placed somewhere, I'm gonna watch it. It's my zhuzh. That's what's gonna happen. So of course I went and watched the Sasha one. I started a little bit, I think, on the Brothers of Destruction one before I had stuff to do. But I really loved this. I know I'm the only one on the panel who's watched it, which is fine. The one thing that I liked about it, you know, and WWE is always doing these, I love their series like this, but they always seem to like, they'll start something good and they might stop. Like with the network, they had so many good shows that they had produced on the network and then it would just stop. And I was like, why? That was such a good show. But the one thing that I liked about this episode from Sasha was there was nothing really new in there when it came to her background. They always go over like their background, where they came from, you know, her growing up in Iowa, being the only person of color. Like that's something we've honestly known about Sasha, but and her development of the boss character, we know she took pieces from all of that was great. But I think what I liked about this versus anything else that I've seen from her is just kind of like really just relishing in the character of it all and really just being like, yeah, Sasha Banks is the character. I love playing the character. I love being evil. Like just really, really giving it to us that this is something that it's two minds, because it's very easy to be like, you know, Mercedes is Sasha. Sasha is Mercedes. But, you know, that's not the case. And that's whenever we're talking about these people on here on these podcasts, we're talking about the characters. We're not talking about people, you know? And so like that. Yeah, unless we are. Which is
clear.
Explicitly clear.
You know, it does happen sometimes, but there's a big difference. And I think with Sasha, I mean, maybe it goes this way with like any woman who is a heel, but like, there's just a weird response where like there was a lot, and we've talked about it before about Sasha, but like she was in the airport and like, I don't want to talk to people right now. Maybe like once, twice, and then it blew up into like a bigger story. And like, it's okay to have boundaries and to be like, yeah, I don't want to constantly take pictures and interact with fans. I remember, just to kind of go with that thread for a second, like just stories that I've heard in interviews or read in books from some of the women about just like creepy fans. Like you can't even blame them for that. On top of being like a woman of color, which also makes it like a weird situation, because it's a lot of like white male wrestling fans, and like that's a whole thing. And so I don't know. I just feel like people used even like that small thing to like attack her and be like, Sasha's rude, Sasha doesn't like the fans. And then it blew up into this bigger narrative, which I don't think is really fair to her, because clearly she's passionate about what she's doing and she's a fan. She Like, she gets it. So yeah. I don't know. She deserves a lot more credit in my mind.
Oh yeah. And they brought up like the, it was triggering to me. They brought up the NXT audience calling Sasha ratchet. I was like, ugh.
Oh my
God. To this day, I cannot listen to them, to those audios. I'm like, it annoys the ever loving mess out of me. But
yeah,
you know, in it, she of course was taking onus of the character. And then I love the different talking heads. And this one, they had Bailey, they had Snoop Dogg. Dr. Phil was in it for some very odd reason. It was the weirdest.
Excuse
it was
me.
So weird. It was.
You said Dr. Phil.
Dr.
How did
Phil.
He play into it?
Could you talk?
Yeah. He was there. I think he was there to kind of be like the clinical.
Well.
Oh, Sasha Banks, she was doing this, this. But you could tell that he didn't know. Like, he didn't know her story. Like, it was the weirdest thing. And he was saying the most vaguest stuff, like just vague, that could be applied to any real wrestler. And I was like, why are you here? Shout out to Denise Salcido, who was on it. And I'm so mad. There's another like WWE, like, wrestling Twitter. Oh, I'm so mad. We'll link it in the show notes.
I think I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about? Izzy was on there, but she was on it for 2 seconds. No, but it was a black woman. Her name started with a V. I meant to write it down. And she so expertly told the story of what Sasha meant to us as black women, even being a villain. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be kicking myself now, but it was so good. It was a really well put together documentary, and I would encourage everybody to watch it. It was only like 40 some minutes or something like that. And then the biggest thing too, they went over her 2019 when she asked for her release, and she basically explained, like, it got to the point where she was overworking herself, and the line where Sasha started and Mercedes stopped or whatever blurred. Yeah. Like she was just Sasha Banks all the time, that she lost her sense of self. And she was talking about how, like, you know, because they travel for 5 days, and she's like, I haven't seen my natural hair color in like a year. You know, it was like, she's like, I can't even take this wig off. Like, it was really, it was so interesting, that part, because I think I haven't watched too many things about her 2019 departure, because I have to put myself in a space for that, because I've said on this podcast, when she left, I left too. So it was really interesting to hear her like talk about how she basically lost herself. She had to take the time out. She was just mentally drained. And then, you know, she went to Japan, and it ends when she came back and transitioned to her blue era. So it was really good. I just love Sasha. I really do. She's just a
and I will say, I think, just to go back to something you're saying, because we shouted out Dr. Phil, I think LaToya Ferguson is the person.
Thank you.
Author of an encyclopedia of women's wrestling.
Yes.
Check
I'm
her
like,
out,
I know so. Her in yes. my in my head.
Friend
I'm
in my
so,
head.
And I'm so mad. Yes, LaToya Ferguson. Thank you so much, Matt. I love that. But yeah, so it was great. I would just suggest watching it. And they had like Stephanie, they had Roman.
They have Randy. I saw a clip from Randy.
Bailey.
They didn't have Bailey. Matt.
Did they have Bailey?
No. The only two women it was only Sasha and Stephanie.
I'm like, well.
Yeah. Bailey was in Sasha's story. And it was so good. Bailey was talking about how when Sasha left in 2019, and you know, she kept going, she was like, I was fully prepared for her to never wrestle again. I'm like, no, like, don't say
it
that.
Kind of felt like that, but also in the real time, it was like, what's going on? Is everything going to be okay?
So
are they leaving? I remember thinking Sasha was going to leave so many times at that point.
Yeah.
And you know, we're thankful. She probably thought it too, it sounds like. So yeah.
We were scared, man. She had changed her name back to like Mercedes on all platforms. When she bought Ryu, everybody thought it was like, oh, it's over. She said she would never get a dog while she was on the road. We were in shambles.
I didn't realize how deep it went.
It was so bad. And for me, it coincided, like, I had just had the birth, like, my son was born like a few months before that. And so at that time I was like, I don't need to watch wrestling. If Sasha's not there, I have a 5-month old. Like, it was just kind of like, I don't don't need this. And I that was the one time I was like truly casual. I was turning into the pay-per-views. People were winning that I didn't like, if I remember correctly. I was just like, you know what? I'm good. It wasn't even people who were winning that I didn't like, because I remember this was Becky. This was when Becky, they atrociously threw Becky in there with Lacey Evans and then put her and Seth together, and it was all weird. Mm. That summer was the weirdest summer ever. Yeah. So I was just like, I don't need this. But yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, y'all.
It's like, you brought us Sasha back there.
I know. Oh, I know.
And we'll get to talk about Sasha a little bit as we go along, yeah, too, because I'm curious, like, especially we'll get to the tag team of Naomi and Sasha, but Lo, yeah, I'm sure you have thoughts on, I'm sure you have thoughts on all of it, but
yeah,
curious to, yeah, we'll dive in more about them when we get there too.
Yeah, that's my bad. Let's finish up. We only have one more thing. They announced the I'm assuming the last person who will be inducted into Hall of Fame. We already just talked about Queen Charmel and Booker T earlier. That was our nod to them, but Shad Gaspard, one half of the Crime Time, he is posthumously being given the Warrior Award, and it was like, I like this announcement. It definitely brought me back to that place. He passed away back in 2020 when him and his son were accidentally caught in a riptide out in California, and he had the lifeguard save his son. And unfortunately, by the time they came back to save him, he had passed away. And this was one of those things that people were saying, like, he should have got this award, but it's like, this doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, this man was like a hero. He was like a philanthropist, from what I understand, before he passed away and all that. So it's just, I'm just glad he's being recognized. And truly this, I know it has to be hard for his family. But he will be inducted. He'll be inducted along with, Queen Charmel, The Undertaker, and Vader. So they really have not made much ado about the Hall of Fame this year. It'll be right after SmackDown on Friday. It feels so weird because I could have sworn like 5 or 6 years ago, they were they would unroll people like every week.
Yeah.
They would like set stuff up, and it made it sound, it felt like a big deal just a few years ago. And now it just doesn't feel as big. What do you think, Lo?
So we actually touched on this in the episode. Yeah, mm-hmm. The class does feel small. I mean, for a lot of us thought, yes, that it would just be the Undertaker going in, mm-hmm, because they only announced him for like a month and a half, and they didn't announce anyone else.
Yeah.
Because it is after SmackDown, I think my concern is that they need to limit the length of speeches, because we don't want another Goldberg with people just sitting there for hours on end, you know, hearing people talk. I know Undertaker's is going to be long, which is understandable, but Goldberg's went on for like forever. and, you know, if you think about last year's, I know it was all virtual stuff like that, and they had two classes, but they limited the speeches for the participants or the honorees. You know, the Bella Twins got like 1 minute each. And what? It was very short. Like, I watched it. I think I watched it twice. And the women's speeches were so short. And, you know, a lot of people were irritated by that, because then you had like people like RVD. He has had a great career, but his speech went on for like 10 minutes. And you have the women that, you know, have these shortened speeches. Yeah. And it's a little bit of a
smile on the face.
Yeah, it's I don't like it. So,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see what they do in terms of if they do add someone else. I mean, it's WWE, and I feel like they love to do stuff last minute or surprise people. So I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they did add someone else like Monday or Friday, like the day of. I would love to see another woman at it, like an actual wrestling woman. You know, Charmel has done her thing as, you know, a manager in the WWE, but I would love to see an actual, like, wrestler be inducted. You know, I think Victoria has been one that she should be in the Hall of Fame, and it would be a perfect opportunity. She's going to be in Texas already for WrestleCon. Like, she would be perfect, in my opinion. But I don't know if WWE is going to finally be like, you know what, let's just finally induct her. They might just go ahead with the four people, which kind of seems like barely anyone in there. I mean, you have these big ass classes any other time, and this time it's very small. In terms of Shad, I definitely feel like he does deserve this. I've seen people too saying he should have went in last year. We need to rename the ward after him. I think we need to focus on the topic at hand. Like, he's finally going in, you know, his wife, hopefully his wife is there, his son. I know JTG is going to be in town for WrestleCon as well. Hopefully he's involved to some capacity. I think we need to focus on not that this moment should have been had a year ago. We need to focus on it's actually happening, you know? And so often I think as fans, we tell WWE or we say about WWE, well, they should have did that a long time ago. Or why didn't they do this? Or why didn't they do that? Like, let's just appreciate the moment. Like, this man is getting his flowers. Like, even though he has passed away, they're still recognizing him. And let's just be proud of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the other piece of that I would just add is like this. It's this thought of, okay, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to like go back and like induct him in the 2021 class? And like, because I never even heard any rumblings of him being inducted before. So I was just so happy to see this for him. And it was so sad the day just hearing the news of what happened to him at that beach in the LA area. And, you know, even the search that was happening. So people still held out some hope. And, you know, for me, one of the things that is like the most difficult to watch and take in wrestling is those moments when you see those wrestlers. I mean, I saw a similar thing when Daphne, unfortunately, took her own life, where the wrestlers were just like so desperately like, help us. This is our friend. And or like, if anyone could do anything, do something. And so I'm just so thankful that he's in here. And you know, one thing I think about Edge and his retirement, because I think that he was like, he retired and then was short. I don't know if this was Edge or someone else I'm thinking about, but someone retired and then was like immediately inducted, like right after that, the next opportunity.
I believe and it was, you know, Edge.
I'm pretty sure it was Edge. And I remember that feeling like it happened so quickly after he retired. I don't know if they're. You know, I don't really ever feel like there's a rush for people to be in the Hall of Fame now. And so other than like China, but that's a whole other issue.
I know.
but yeah, I mean, you know what? This is like good. And, you know, we have to sometimes just like be thankful for what we're getting and the fact that he's being celebrated, especially because Shad, it obviously had been a while since he'd been in WWE. So it says a lot that they chose to induct him and include him here.
Yeah, exactly that. All right. So, this has been amazing so far. We gotta keep it moving. If you want to send us any long form questions, you can email us, send your email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also use hashtag WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter to join the conversation. Please follow us at Wrestling Rehab Up on Twitter as well. Next week, we are bringing back our stereos. We're bringing back our stereo reaction podcast directly after WrestleMania Night 1, also known as WrestleMania Saturday, and WrestleMania Night 2, also known as WrestleMania Sunday. We will be going live right after it ends. We'll probably set the event for like 11:15 Eastern time, but depending on when it actually ends, we'll probably go live 15 minutes after that. So if you want to join stereo, download the Stereo app, then follow me and Matt Scott on Stereo at Mari Talks Too Much. And
at Matt Scott GW. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm just doing the work for you.
On Stereo, if you follow us, you'll get notified as soon as we go live. And if you go live with us that day, you can submit your audio questions and be on the podcast. So please come and check us out, because we are so happy to be bringing that back. You'll get all of our raw opinions on what went down WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2. Hopefully.
Yeah, and I'll also just mention, like, just to jump in, you could check out the show notes for the links to Stereo. So I'll make sure to include a link to the Stereo app to make it easy for you to download that and find it. And follow us, Mari Talks Too Much, and Matt Scott GW for more. And if, you know, keep an eye out, because we'll also be posting about the fact that we're doing these.
Yeah. And I think you can also like listen like on a browser in stereo as well. So, yeah, check that out. Hopefully you're watching us, looking at our beautiful faces right now, me, Matt, and Lo, on the YouTube channel. Go to Rob Has a Podcast YouTube and search Wrestling Rehab Up, and you should be looking at us. Like, I mean, I hope you're listening to us, but you should also be looking at us because we have really cool pictures and stuff. And finally, for the plugs, it is almost the beginning of the month, so make sure that you become a patron at the at www.patreon.com/RHAP. Become an RHAP patron. I always get that wrong. And you can get free access. Well, not free. Get access to the patron only podcast feed, patron 5 for 5s, patron discount codes for merch, all of that. So that will be linked in our show notes and show description as well. So let's we'll take a quick ad break and then we'll get into the highlights of the week. All right, finally, time to talk about some wrestling. Every week, we talk about the highlights of the week, and we put them in a very handy playlist in either your show notes or your show description, so you can follow along with us. This week, we will be previewing WrestleMania 38. So we're just going to go down the card, give our predictions, maybe what we think will happen afterwards. So excited to hear your thoughts, Lo. We are going to start with this title versus title match. Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, versus Brock Lesnar, the WWE Champion, in a unification match. I hate unification matches.
Oh my gosh.
I hate them, you know, so what? Much.
Oh no. I'm going to be like completely, I'm going to try to be like contrary to you today, Mari, because I want to open my mind to this. But where do you want to start
Well,
the greatest match ever, whatever they're calling it.
So in our show notes and the highlights, we have like a few clips just to kind of refresh your memory on what's been going on in the Roman and Brock feud. I mean, the one thing that this feud has going for it is it's been going on for like months. It started back in like, what, October of last year or something to that effect?
No, it actually started at SummerSlam.
Oh my God, I forgot.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, which is great. Long-term storytelling is great, but it's great. But I, as we were going through these clips and I was pulling stuff, you know, to do, I do feel like there was a hiccup because I liked all of the stuff for SummerSlam. I remember I liked everything like going into Survivor Series and all of that. The one hiccup was the Royal Rumble, and it really kind of pissed me off. It was like the whole taking the belt, putting the belt onto Bobby Lashley, you know, taking it off of Brock, putting it onto Bobby Lashley for the excuse for Brock to then go into the Royal Rumble, win the Royal Rumble, just to take the belt off of Lashley 2 or 3 weeks later. Like, I didn't like that part. Like, I didn't like anything about that. And then where's Bobby Lashley? Like, he was a stepping stone. They did all of this just for us to end at a title versus title match again. Like, and I guess just to justify, they did all of that just to justify the title versus title match, you know, with Brock winning. And is this a case of it's going on too long, or did they just make too many wrong steps? Or maybe I'm just being pessimistic. Lo, what do you think?
I mean, it has gone on for a long time. You think about it, it's almost been a year now.
Oh my gosh.
It's been close to a year almost, but I think WWE does need some long-term storytelling, but I think this is interesting with the title unification. I would have liked to see Paul Heyman on a pole match. I mean, I think that would have been interesting because Paul Heyman has been Paul Heyman has been heavily tied to this feud, you know, going back and forth between Brock and Roman. And I feel like he doesn't have a lot of stake in this match. It's the titles at this point, but
yes,
obviously Paul Heyman is going to be involved somehow. So we'll see what happens there. But this feud has been just interesting. Like you mentioned at the Royal Rumble, you know, I don't necessarily think Brock needed to win the Royal Rumble. I think they put him in that moment. And when I think about the Royal Rumble, I've discussed this with other people. I think about them giving the opportunity to like a younger talent or like someone that they're looking to build up so that they finally have their moment at WrestleMania. I don't see someone that could easily be plugged into a WrestleMania match winning a Royal Rumble. Like, and I feel the same way with Ronda Rousey. I feel like they're two people who could have easily been placed into these title matches without having them win the Royal Rumble. Like, they could have easily had Liv Morgan win the Royal Rumble, or, you know, they could have had, I don't know, like Big E or Ricochet win the men's Royal Rumble and place them in that position to elevate themselves rather than elevating someone who's already elevated. It doesn't really make sense to me in that way, but that's the way they're going to do it. Interestingly, my cousin, he is, he's a casual fan. He's more, he, you know, he's more than a casual fan. He's like, he will read the comments online and read the articles to keep up. But he actually sent me a text the day of the Royal Rumble because he's like, are you watching it? And I said, yeah. He sent me a whole text with his predictions and they were all right. Oof. He's like, I hope I'm not right, but I hope that they're not this predictable. And it had on there, Brock's going to lose the title and then he's going to come back and win the Rumble. And when it happened, I was like, why? You know, why did we have to do this? Why did Bobby Lashley have to be collateral damage to Brock Lesnar's success?
Agreed.
Exactly. Agreed. Yeah, to be a footnote in it. Because I really, in the real time, I liked the fact that I liked the fact that Lashley won the championship again. And then it's tough because all along the way in that feud, Brock is just trashing Lashley and he's kind of, he kind of has that attitude of like, okay, you'll see, you know, and he seems a little flustered, but you know, Brock was kind of like doing the thing where he's punking him out a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, who, like almost like, who are you? I haven't even wanted this match. I didn't even know who you were before this, which I don't like that writing because even if it's against a heel character by a face, it just, it's like, it's not flattering. Like you never want to be like, we don't know who you are. You always want it to seem like this is a big star. We acknowledge that they're big stars. You don't want fans echoing what Brock's saying. Like, who are these people? Right. So that was the thing for me. But I will also say, I don't know. I think the biggest point for me is what are they doing with Lashley now? And it's kind of sad that they kind of jumped over. He is injured. So he did have like a shoulder injury and then they kind of, he was injured at the Rumble and then they kind of kayfabed it with the Elimination Chamber, which is why there was
Right.
So because he wasn't even in the match really. They had the concussion protocol.
Horrendous. Yeah.
But I mean, maybe he will be back in time for
Mania, a panel at WrestleMania. Yeah, so
he'll be there. He'll be in town.
Yeah.
So MVP. We'll see.
This match
is like I don't know. It could feel, it just doesn't feel like, I don't know. I wonder who's like, this is their favorite match going into Mania.
That's what I was about to say. Do we feel like they've been to the well too many times? Because this will be what, Roman and Brock's third time at the WrestleMania together? I want to say fourth, but I know for a fact it's the third. 31, 34. 38. Am I remembering that correctly? And then, I mean, the dynamics are different. We do have Roman as the heel this time and Brock as a face. And my thought process here is like, I guess I don't know if we want to get into the predictions, but everything is seeming like Brock has to win, you know, this phase, you got to win or whatever. Especially since also Roman is on they stopped counting like how many days he's been champion at this point. So it does feel like Brock has to win, but wouldn't it just kind of be something and kind of turn it on the head if Roman won like this when they did that at 34. Remember we going into 34, if I remember correctly, the Florida WrestleMania, we thought Roman was going to win that one and then Roman didn't. And they dragged it on to SummerSlam. If I remember correctly. So it would be kind of funny if they did that too, but then I don't know. I just don't, like Matt said, this is not my favorite match going into it. I think just mostly because We've seen it. This week they did a lot of, or this week and last week, he took a forklift to their SUV and flipped that SUV over. It was very Attitude Era stuff. Like, they went back to that well, the Attitude Era, but it's just not doing it for me, because I don't know. I love the character work that both of them are doing. I love what Paul Heyman is doing. I agree. This match should be for whoever wins. Paul Heyman goes with them. Like, how are we not? How has nobody said that a week before?
Break up with him.
No, I love a good manager.
Paul Heyman is toxic. He's a great, the most legendary manager. He's also toxic. We can't keep him around. You know, he's like, what good ever came with having Paul Heyman around? Unless you're Brock, I was gonna say Brock E. Lesnar. I don't know why I'm trying to give him like a middle initial. Paul E. Heyman. But it's interesting. This, for me, one of the things with the Paul Heyman of it all is just like, how long do you keep putting up with him? Like, is there benefit to having him in your corner? This in kayfabe, of course. Like, is the benefit to having him in your corner that large that you could kind of put up with him, you know, his sneakiness, you know? But I mean, maybe it is, because he does have a successful track record. He's one of a kind.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. For me, I don't know. It doesn't feel as fresh as it could maybe feel. But you know what? We've gotten, I mean, in terms of what is fresh about it, right? Face Brock Lesnar, forklift Brock Lesnar. Yeah. He loves destroying cars nowadays, apparently.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of him running. You saw him chasing Paul Heyman recently, which was a lot of fun. We saw him destroying a security team with a steel chair. So, you know, this is a little bit different than what we've been getting from Brock the last few years. So that's like one positive I would say is like, destroyer face Brock is different, and I like it. But again, like, I don't know. It would be interesting if it was like a different feud. I always love when they build new stars, to your point, Lo, about the Royal Rumble. Like, I wish that it wasn't, maybe this is how I feel in general when I see two big like stars going up against each other, unless it's well built. Like, oh, this could be Brock versus Ricochet and build a story around that. Or maybe not Brock and Ricochet, but like Roman and Ricochet, or something fresh that actually builds the future rather than just relying on like the past or relying on how popular Ronda Rousey and Brock and others are. So, you know, I tried to kind of see it the other way, but
Lo, what do you think of this feud here?
I feel like it will be more exciting to see in person. Like, I haven't really liked it. There's been elements that I do like, but then it's also a little bit dry at times. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Roman heel character, and I think he will win at WrestleMania, because I think they want to build him up as much as possible, hopefully for a Rock return. I feel like that's the only way I can see him winning both titles. I don't see him losing against Brock Lesnar. I feel like they have been so strong on Roman to the point where he's held this title for so long now. Why would they have him lose it to Brock Lesnar, who he could have lost it to months ago? You know what I mean? I feel like it has to be someone like The Rock, or like another legend, or, you know, maybe even Braun Breaker, just throwing that out there. Someone that you don't expect to win the titles. Or the unified title, I should say, to win it from Brock Lesnar, or to win it from Roman Reigns at this point.
Right.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I don't see Brock Lesnar doing it.
So maybe, and then first off, I just want to correct myself. I did say WrestleMania 34. That was right. But that one was in New Orleans, of course. And I said Florida. What if this ends in a DQ? What if we
No,
I don't think it will.
People would, the building would be burnt down.
But yes, at least they would both keep their titles. I think that's what really pisses me off about this feud to begin with. It's having both of the titles tied up in this one storyline that I am just not compelled for.
I'm not a fan of that flyer, by the way. They look, they, that face.
Yeah, that too. That
yeah,
too.
It's wild. Yeah. Oh, it's showing off the ear there, Brock. Ugh.
No yeah, shame, I had to take that out, okay. Pull it down. But no, yeah. And
you know, I don't like both the titles being held up like this. I feel like we could be getting one title for this one, and then maybe somebody else could be fighting somewhere else that's more compelling to me for the other title. That way we're having diversity. We're having, you can choose this one and not this one, but both of them are tied up here. If somebody wins, what's going to happen? That's another thing. If Brock wins both these titles, is he going to both Raw and SmackDown?
Like,
is he
going to
be there every day? You know, like well, Roman, that's definitely not happening. And everybody else.
I don't see a world where Brock wins to what Lo was saying. I see Roman winning here. I think especially you, Mari, I think you referenced they haven't been talking about the number of days he's had the championship. I think that if they, the day that they decide to take the championship off of him, I think that they'll really lean into that and they'll stress that because that will make the win even more meaningful. Not to say that that's like the determining factor here, but I would just say, I think that that's something that they would want to lean into more. Maybe they will next week, you know, leading into Mania, who knows? But, you know, I will say, for me, I don't mind a world where Roman wins here and has both of the championships because it just builds his legacy and this head of the table storyline that ultimately will lead to The Rock finally returning and coming up against him. Is frustrating that we sat there at Survivor Series in the arena like, oh, The Rock's coming. Oh, wait, I hear The Rock's music. Oh, wait, no, it's just a trailer for this movie with the egg. That was a thing. That was a moment. I'm not bitter at all, but I do think that, like, I could see The Rock showing up. I don't even know when The Rock would show up. I don't want to speculate.
I mean, WrestleMania
I'm okay with Roman
in Hollywood. Like, yeah.
Exactly. But also it's a question of like, does he show up at the SmackDown after Mania? Does he show up at SummerSlam? Does he show up at Survivor Series? Like, when do we see The Rock? Because I think that I really want him here badly soon. Now, like yesterday, actually. But right, no, so, yeah.
I, so
like,
are we yeah, all Marty, saying?
Well, I'll ask you something. So you love Roman.
Yes.
Do you, Roman fan. Assuming that Roman wins, like, do you feel like that adds to his legacy?
I mean, at this point, everything does, right? You know, like, he's finally getting the recognition that he's been deserved, in a sense. So I've always, whenever they go up against each other, I'm always Team Roman, no matter what the dynamics are. So, I guess what we're all saying is we all are pinning the win on Roman, and that's fine. And I just have so many other gripes about this match that has nothing to truly do about just the two of them fighting together. It's all the circumstances around it, I think, that's kind of mildly annoying to me. So with that said, let's move on. Match I'm really looking forward to. Becky Lynch is the current Raw Women's Champion, and she will be taking on Bianca Belair. This one's slated for day one. And man, this feud, like, talk about long-term storytelling. Again, this is what we've been getting, you know. Becky comes back, SummerSlam, takes the spot from Sasha, beats Bianca in 26 seconds. We are all Stundralina. We don't know what's going on. I think we were on the podcast like, what is happening? You know, and then you're being told to wait, you know, it'll make sense. So wait. And then with WWE, you just never know if it's ever going to pay off. And there was a minute there when Ronda came back, I was like, Lord, please, like, please don't step on this storyline. I want to see Becky versus Bianca because the feud has just been so good. Just, you know, even Bianca having to go to the back of the line and start all over again, you know, and earn her place at Elimination Chamber and all that. Like, I really like this storyline. I think they really upped the ante these last 2 weeks. Let me just get into it real quick. So last week, Becky attacked Bianca and using a chair to her throat. So of course WWE came back like, oh, Bianca's hyoid bone is bruised, which as a medical professional, what? I was like, okay, sure. All right.
what bone?
The hyoid bone in the neck.
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know she existed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very common forensics thing. Like, you can tell if a victim has been like strangled because the hyoid bone is broken. And that's how you know you're like,
side note, a plug for Mari's true crime media podcast, Crime Scene on Rob Has a Podcast, just premiered the other week. Just letting you know, a couple episodes are out.
Yes. Thank you, Matt.
The connection there about the hyoid.
The hyoid.
Hyoid.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Law and Order. I know that.
Yes, love. Exactly. She knew what I was talking about.
Oh, no.
Yes. So that's
probably all over SVU.
Or whatever. Yes. It's all over SVU. And so Bianca was out, but it gave Becky Lynch the time to cut this impassioned promo, which again, I mean, nobody has to sit here and talk about how good Becky Lynch is at cutting promos. I mean, like, that should be understated. And if we don't say it, it's not because we don't think it's because we know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You know it. So she cut this promo. Again, I love that she's resetting this character. Like, the championship means everything to me. I've given up everything for this championship. I love again how she says, I came back, I beat Bianca, and you guys booed. You guys are mad, which is true. I was so surprised, and we talked about it so many times after SummerSlam, but like, the power that Bianca has as a babyface for people to elicit a reaction in a correct facing manner for both their characters cannot be understated. Like, if Becky's going to play a heel, she has to be up against a convincing babyface. And the both of them are working so well together. And this storyline can't work if Bianca can't pull that off, and if Becky can't pull it off, you know? So I love this reference that, you know, when they loved you, now I detest you. She's been saying that for weeks now. And she's been saying she's given up her very soul to keep the championship. And I love this because when she loses that championship, I can't wait to see what she does after it. You know what I'm saying? Does she just completely snap? I just want to see her completely snap. I can't tell you. And then also going in and saying that Bianca's crown, like her hair is her crown and she's coming for it, and just kind of just underscoring how important hair is to Black women. It's just like a whole nother level. Like, this promo was on a whole nother level. Yeah. And I watched it so many times, and I truly love this. This is a storyline that's rooted in truth, that if you know, you know. You know, the girls that know, the girls that get it type deal.
Scary, though. Like, uh-huh. I'm just wondering, do you think they would ever cut Bianca's hair?
Matt, as soon as the promo happened, I was like, is Becky going to cut the braid off at WrestleMania?
No, you know why? This is my argument for why they won't do it. They sell those. Do they still sell the Bianca braids on the WWE shop?
They do sell.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason they won't do it.
Lo, what do you think?
So I'll take it back to SummerSlam. I was there. So,
oh, okay.
It was an interesting reaction. Like, when Bianca was in the ring, Carmella came out, I kind of rolled my eyes, and then Becky came out, the place erupted. Like, we had read online that that Becky might come back, but we didn't think it would be in this capacity. The crowd was just absolutely insane. But we thought we were getting a full match. And then when she finally beat Bianca in 26 seconds, like, you could hear a pin drop. Like, I was so pissed. I was like, did that really just happen? And I'm looking around, and everyone's just kind of like, and you had a couple people that were excited because obviously they're Becky fans, but like, a lot of the people were just like, what just happened? Like, and we're all just kind of like mad or just like shocked. We didn't really know what to do. Like, honestly, that put like a damper on my night. Like, course, I have nothing against Becky Lynch, but like, I felt like the way that they portrayed it, like Bianca could be beat in 26 seconds where she had all this momentum going in, was just absolutely ridiculous when they could have easily had a great match there and still been able to tell this story of like, oh, well, Becky got one over on Bianca, but they had a full match, right? I think they've done a good job at storytelling. Obviously, we've seen some other key players involved along the way. Like, we thought Liv Morgan was going to take the belt off of Becky for a while. Like, she was a strong singles competitor for a while there that I almost thought would have gone to WrestleMania if it wasn't Bianca. But I'm looking forward to this match. In terms of you mentioning the hair, like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like,
she might do it.
I don't think Bianca would do it.
I don't think Bianca would either. I mean, I'm not saying that her hair is her whole personality, but her hair is a lot of what she brings to the table. Like, Bianca is one of those characters that we have not seen in the WWE before. She's a homegrown black talent in WWE. She's been able to keep this strong babyface character for a very long time now. And she has not slipped once. I think that cutting off the braid would be something that the backlash they would not be ready for. I don't think WWE would be ready for the backlash from all types of black fans. Like, I think they would be like, okay, we messed up here. Like, we need to figure something else out. I don't think they'll do a hair versus title match at this point. I think it's too late to announce it. If they were going to do something like that, they would have announced it by now and probably changed it because the fans would have gone absolutely insane over it.
That's the thing. That the amount of heat that Becky would get if at the beginning of the match she attacks Bianca, pulls out some random scissors and cuts her hair at the beginning of that match would be catastrophic.
No.
And I would not mind seeing it. I'm not gonna lie, because I know this sounds crazy, but I honestly feel that would launch Bianca in the babyface stratosphere that nobody could probably even touch those heights. Like, and then she wins. Like, let's say she wins,
right?
And then she comes out with her hair down. You know, whatever. You know, she wants to do with it. My good sis don't have to pull her hair back into a tight ponytail anymore for a little bit. And then maybe I hate booking champions to lose, but do like a Samson style storyline there. Like, was it just her hair? Was her power?
Was it her power?
Yeah, I know. That's touchy. It's very touchy. But that would be interesting. I mean, maybe it'd be too soon because she's, you know, just got to the main roster. It's been a few years. But I mean, either way, I agree. That night at SummerSlam, we were pissed. We said all of the exact same things you said. I was like, I can't believe they disrespected Bianca like that. We got all Kofi comparisons. The only reason why I can definitely look back at it with like rose colored glasses right now is because they actually kept with the story. Like, if they had did that, if say Liv had won at some point, I would have been happy for Liv, but it would have always been in my mind. But what about Bianca? What about Bianca? If Ronda Rousey had challenged Becky and now we're looking at Becky and Ronda, I would have been livid to the nth degree and probably would have thrown something. So I think the fact that in all intents and purposes, it looks like we're going to get paid a good payoff for this match. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't imagine we're getting all of this and Bianca doesn't win. So, I mean, but then again, it's WWE.
I mean,
maybe I should have taken that out of the air.
I was like, it could happen. There's a world where Bianca doesn't win. And I think that for me, it's like the fact that Ronda is there really makes me. I mean, OK, so there are a lot of different scenarios that could happen coming out of this. But just to kind of follow on what you're saying, number one, please don't cut Bianca's hair, but also I think that this match kind of, it would make sense for Becky to pull out the scissors. Like, she's like Brutus the Barber Beefcake with the hedge clippers.
Oh yeah. The massive shears.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And just like, be like, I'm coming for it. And then not cut her hair. Okay, that's a huge heel move. And you're right. She did just kind of get to the main roster, but also Bianca would look amazing without the braid. But also that can't be cut by, like, I think it's a bigger issue if her hair ends up getting cut by like a white woman. And then it's like, okay, but she's successful and she won the championship. It's like, no, but that's still not okay.
The optics are not good.
They're not.
I mean, the way that Twitter already reacts when people grab her hair, if she cuts it, No, they won't. No.
And is it fair that I'm like, it's Becky, so I kind of feel like if it was Becky, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I can kind of take this. If it was like, I'm sorry, Lacey, but if it was Lacey Evans, it is pure riot up in here. Just because Lacey has never been able to make her character like balance her character out. Sure. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I agree. Like that is very true. The reaction that people get, and I love the fact that Bianca has said it in the Sasha match, and she made it abundantly clear with the Becky stuff. Like, if you don't touch my hair, I will not use it against you. And I love that as babyface Bianca. Babyface Bianca says, I will not use it unless you use it, unless you touch it. You know, when Bianca was a heel, she used that thing all the time in NXT. So yeah, I love that it could be a versatile, you know, aspect to her arsenal as well. So yeah, it would totally suck if she cut that braid off, but that would be a moment, y'all. It truly would be. I'm not looking forward to it. I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh.
If it happened, that would be crazy.
It's not happening. I'm sorry nuts. I even brought it up. I'm not sorry because I'm glad we talked about it just in case and we could process our emotions here.
Yeah, I know.
In a safe space. But no, there's actually some. So what I'm kind of curious about predictions, like what we think is going to happen here. And I'm kind of on the fence because I feel like Bianca winning here. I mean, I know it's what I want. I know it's I would imagine it's, well, maybe it's what we want. Well, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. I know that's what I would like here because Bianca, one thing I think that's been so brilliant is that they've constantly gone back to the 26 seconds thing. So it's not even like it just happened and it was a stain on her record, but it was like, okay, we're going to talk about it so much that it's not even embarrassing to bring up anymore, or it's not like it happened and they ignored it. I like that that's part of the story. It's part of a redemption story. And so I think that like something that would help her redemption story is her actually winning here. But that's, you know, I could only hope. Mari, what are you thinking for this match, or what's your prediction? Because I guess my troubling thing. That's like the tough thing where it's like, I want Bianca to win. I could see a world where Becky wins, but I think I'd have to predict Bianca here.
Yeah. Exactly. For me, the story dictates that Bianca wins. I mean, if we're, there you go with your shirt. If we're going with logic, which WWE decides when they want to use that, it would say that Bianca would win here. And I think you just get also with Bianca winning, you get more variables in the sense of like Bianca being a fighting champion. She's always been a fighting babyface champion. Plus she has all those women she can continue to fight with. Plus whoever's going to be premiering the night after, you know. And with Becky, if Becky loses the title, Becky then has to find herself without the title, and I think that it will be a very interesting storyline as well. So I feel like that would mean Bianca should win.
But what if just to put it out there, because I meant to mention this, just Bianca having a record of beating the different horsewomen at Mania could become a thing. Just like Sasha losing constantly at Mania has been a thing, interestingly, right?
We'll talk about that.
But that's kind of where I would say I think that Bianca's got it, just because maybe they're doing a thing where next year it will be
Bailey. They'll make Charlotte the ultimate bad. If they're going to do anything like that, they'll make Charlotte the big boss.
Yeah.
Lo, what do you think?
I see Bianca winning. I think what they should do next in terms of Becky, if she does like spiral out of control or whatever. I mean, Asuka is supposed to be coming back soon. Ooh. And I think the perfect storyline would be something along the lines of, well, I gave you my title when, you know, I went out on maternity leave. Like, you know, I'm coming for revenge because that was my title at the end of the day. Like, you know, I think something with them would be good. Especially now that Asuka is supposedly cleared or she's close to getting cleared. I think that storyline will go perfectly. But
And they have you never chemistry.
Know. They do, mm-hmm. but you never know. I mean, Bailey is also supposed to be cleared soon as well,
which would be great for Bianca,
right? Exactly. And she could be somewhere involved in this as well. So mm-hmm. I see Bianca winning. I know I read that they're supposed to be on the first night, and that's supposed to be the first match, which I'm kind of like,
that's what I heard don't as like well. That.
You know what? I will say, like, for if you're going to put them any, like, I would have been so disappointed if this was, like, just in the mix in the show. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. we wanted it to main, it would have been amazing if it main evented.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I like that spot at the start of
it's
the show.
Only because
it,
yeah.
It sets the tone, but also it's like, you're not exhausted. It's like, oh my gosh, I've watched like Madcap Moss versus, or like whoever, you
oh
know,
my
like,
God, right?
You know, that's kind of like the, I like that they'll get us while we're still fresh, because even in the main event, we're like, the thing about a main event for Mania is like, you have to be really hyped up for it because you're going to be exhausted probably after the 3 hours of a show,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And two nights of it, but
and I think they're setting themselves up though. Like, you're setting yourself up to be like, oh yes, bang, and then it kind of like, like you know, like a slow decline. Is that?
I mean, that's kind of
yeah.
It reminds me of like
a great match.
It reminds me of the Bailey Bianca Hell in a Cell last year. Was that the first on the card? I feel like that was like our match of the night from Hell in a Cell last year.
I know it was early in the card.
And I know it was a great match. I want to say it was first on the main card, but
yeah,
they'll shine.
Yeah. All right, we got to get some move on. Next up, also on day one, will be the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Charlotte Flair is the current champion versus Ronda Rousey. Okay.
Just that exhale.
Thinking of nice things to say here.
Do you want to talk about it? Okay, well, here's the... Wait, Mari.
Do you want to do it? But
no, I don't really... go for it. Just go for it.
It's just... They've been... I mean, the Charlotte versus Ronda. I mean, all this is, it's just like, get back for WrestleMania 36, right? 36? Whatever. Whatever WrestleMania was supposed to... 36, yeah.
36
was 2020. Yes. 35. So this was the original plan. This was their original plan all along for WrestleMania 35. And then Becky Lynch weaseled her way up to stardom and was added to the match and won it. So this is what they wanted ever since Ronda put pen to paper. So, and we know that they love if Charlotte is owned something, they gave it to her. So Charlotte versus Ronda, they've been amping it up with the whole, you know, parking lot brawls and stuff like that. The reason why I can't connect to this storyline is the whole, you know, I'm going to be the person to make you tap out, Charlotte. Like, Charlotte has tapped out so many times. Like, this is like this. It's insulting my intelligence. Like, I know Charlotte has tapped out. If you want to say Charlotte hasn't tapped out at WrestleMania, sure. You know what I'm saying? Add that.
Did Ronda only say that once? Or I feel like she only said that once.
That has been the running storyline for their whole storyline. I'm going to make you tap out.
A lot of it is...
I'm going to make you tap out.
Yeah, but I think of the thing that they've kind of leaned into more has been like the Ronda, like, oh, I'm going to make Ronda tap, has been like the big thing the last couple of weeks, especially. I don't know. I kind of felt like it's been more of the other way around, but yeah, it's weird because like it's weird to me. Sorry to interrupt but it's just weird to me because it's like, okay, but this is Ronda Rousey. So are we living in a world where Charlotte Flair could make Ronda Rousey tap in like even a kayfabe setting? And it doesn't really make a ton of sense. I don't think it's the strongest way for Ronda to return even, you know, like just to have her go in and like dominate and be a beast would be so strong here. But yeah, this whole submission thing is I guess it makes sense because that's like each of their thing, but they could have gone with something a little bit more inspired here, right?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't make it a submission match, luckily, or anything like that. I was very sure that they were gonna give it a stipulation, like a no holds barred or something like that, because to me that might be the only thing that can push this match forward to me. Low, what's your thoughts?
I have none. I will not be watching this match. I will be at the bar during this match. I don't care for Ronda Rousey. I don't like the way that she came back at the Royal Rumble. Like, as soon as she came out in the late 20s, like, I knew that she was going to win.
Yes.
And like I said, with the men's match, it should have been someone like a Liv Morgan, or like maybe have an NXT person in the match, which they had none. I mean, I feel like that could have been a moment where you propelled someone that wouldn't necessarily be in the main event of a WrestleMania to have them in the main event. And I just, Ronda did not look fresh in the ring at Royal Rumble. It was very sloppy. And we've known for a while now that when Ronda wrestles, she's very rough. Like, she's injured people. And the fact that she's now going to be the main event of night one at WrestleMania just does not rub me the right way. Charlotte Flair is a great competitor. Don't get me wrong. You know, she's held the titles numerous times. She can cut a great promo, but this is not the perfect opponent for her. Like, I just don't like Ronda. I mean, I want Charlotte to beat her, obviously. So my pick is Charlotte, but I don't think that storyline wise, I think Becky and Bianca were a stronger fit for a main event spot rather than Ronda Rousey and Charlotte. But since their names are considered a stronger force within, you know, wrestling, pop culture, MMA culture, whatever, they're put in that spot because WWE knows that people are going to be like, well, Ronda Rousey is going to WrestleMania. She's in the main event. They want that money. So that's how they're going to get it. But unfortunately for us WWE fans, like, we have to sit there and watch it.
We were trying to be nice for you, Lo. let me not drag in front of our guests.
I mean, also just because it's like, it's not fun to like be upset with wrestling, but like this match is just a frustrating one. I'll also be at, I don't know what bar I'll be at home, but I'll find a bar. I'll find the drinks.
I was about to say, where are we going?
Like, I don't know.
I was looking, I was like, DC WrestleMania party.
This is like a fascinating one. I think that, like, I'm just going to say it, and I haven't said this before about Charlotte. You know, Mari, you've been a big critic of Charlotte for a long time, but let me just say, I think she might be like she's not a good wrestling character. She doesn't function like, she's a good character in isolation. Like, on paper, you could look and be like, okay, Charlotte Flair fully forms, has the legacy with Ric Flair, able to back it up in the ring. She has this confidence, she shines, she's like, she comes across as a superstar. But I think that, it feels like it's the last couple of years, especially, she just has not, like, in the last year especially, she hasn't interacted well with anybody. Like, I mean, the Lacey Evans thing I thought was interesting because, like, Lacey, I think it did get Lacey over, even though the Ric Flair situation was kind of funky. After that, it was Rhea, it was Nikki Cross, aka Nikki ASH, aka Nikki Ash, and then it was, you know, and then we're now even getting this Ronda thing, where I think that, like, I wrote this down, like, Charlotte doesn't sell anything in promos with Ronda, and I think it kind of makes Ronda look bad, and then Ronda's not good on the mic. And so it's just like, what are we doing here? And I think I think Charlotte needs a reset to, like, better. She needs an element of her character that's going to help other people get over, because nobody. And it's sad too, because, like, I want people to get over with Charlotte. I want to look at it and be like, oh, this is awesome. But I don't think anyone's really, like, gotten over at all in the last year in relation to Charlotte, and even in her ring work. Like, I mean, Naomi had a great match with her a couple months ago, where Naomi kind of shined, and I think it made her look like more of a star than she did before that. But, like, what are we doing?
The feud went nowhere.
Right. But I actually have a thought when it comes to Ronda. So I think Ronda would be more tolerable if she took on, like, the character of Hook in AEW, where she does not talk. She just comes to the ring, she fights and she leaves. I think that would be best for her. I mean, like I said, she is rough in the ring, but so is he. But, you know, they get the job done and they walk out. You know, I feel like when Hook comes to the ring, he has like, you know, he knows that he's badass and he knows that he's going to get the job done. He's going to beat his opponent and he doesn't have to say anything. It's all in his action and he leaves. Ronda Rousey has this influence within the MMA community that, you know, she was unstoppable. Like she was the baddest woman on the planet until she got beat. She could easily have done that here, I feel like. And I think people would have been like, okay, well, you know, she's not trying to dip into promo work that she can't do. She's just going to the ring and fighting and leaving. I think that if they maybe transition to that in the future, maybe people would think Ronda Rousey's more tolerable. But at this point, it's like, she is not. She's cutting these promos and it's like, no, enough. Like, please just stop.
I agree. I think the funny thing is, I think the reason why she could use a manager for sure. Like, if she can't do the no talking thing, she could definitely use a manager. Sonya Deville might have been not that bad. But anyways, the problem with that is I think what happened was, remember when she was in MMA and every other week after she had beat somebody, they would get like sound bites of her like, oh, I beat bitches up or whatever she said. Yeah. You know, they would get those like sound bites and they would play those sound bites and they'd be like, oh, she's so cold. Oh my God. I think it really like hyped her up and hyped other people up, making us think that she could talk. But then when you come to WWE, it's a whole different ball game. It's not just saying whatever you want to disparage your opponent.
It's not a 5-second sound clip. It's a 2-minute promo and you said all you needed to say in the first 30 seconds.
That's scripted.
Yeah, and it's scripted. Exactly. It's scripted, which I think is even tough. Which I know is even tougher when someone's like, here's what you have to say, as opposed to Ronda, here's your motivation. Just like, don't curse at any of these people, but if you do, you're Ronda Rousey, so it's okay, and we have the tape delay, and we could bleep you.
Let me finish real quick. Please. So, like, I think that's the problem. They need to realize that they need to give up, because the promo she stumbled over this week was just, it was given, like, girl, please, just, I can't. And then Charlotte was in the back, just like Matt said, Charlotte, you can't. We have said this before, Matt. Charlotte doesn't work as a character because you're right. She does not. If you're a heel, Paul Heyman does this amazingly. He bigs up the competitor, you know, that whoever one of his clients is going to go against, but then says, we're still going to beat you, but in a way that does not diminish that character. Every time Charlotte has a feud, she always wins it. And then along the way, it gives very Triple H Booker T in a sense. Like, you can't say all of these things to these people and then they not even win, because it just set them all back. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not talking about the connotation of the Triple H Booker stuff, but I'm just saying, like, I said it last year. I said the stuff that she was doing with Rhea would have worked so well if Rhea came out on top in that feud. Everything that was going on, like, oh, you're just a miniature version of me, and now you're learning from me. And like, if Rhea would have won that feud, that could have catapulted Rhea. It could have catapulted her. But because she lost to Charlotte, after Charlotte spent 3 months of telling Rhea how she's a knockoff version of Charlotte, it stuck. You know what I'm saying? And it completely just destroyed any momentum. So that I agree. Like, I don't know if Charlotte realizes you don't need to go in on people like that. Like, especially if you're going to win.
But it's like how the character is written, of course. And that's the thing that makes it sad, because like, I do feel like I have negative feelings towards Charlotte. Like, if I was in a room with her, similar to how I feel about some, certain reality stars Big D, from Big Brother. Certain people, I'm just like legitimately upset with them. I feel like I would legitimately be upset with Charlotte. Like, how could you? You could have said something. You could have told them that this wasn't the right way to do it, and you went with it. Like, that's the thing with Charlotte. I just, I feel like it's just like she gets heat with the fans, and not even in the right way, which is the sad thing. It's just like, we need a refresh with that character.
Yeah.
But I would say here, you know,
I can't believe
just like my predictions that Ronda will win. My predictions that Ronda will win because like, why not? Sure. If following the logic that they had for the Rumble, I could see them putting the championship on her here. I don't know what happens at that point, but
right. Exactly.
I don't care that much. Yeah,
exactly. I'm rooting for Charlotte, but I do kind of feel like there's going to be like Ron. I think Ronda is going to win here, but I don't know. I have no clue where either one of them go from here. So we've all given our predictions. I think we have a question here. We have a question here from Edmo. Let's put it here. Edmo from the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group asked, he said, lead us down the path of the women's division led by a Becky, Charlotte, Ronda, or Bianca right now. So I think we kind of answered with Becky and Bianca where we could see everything going with them. For Charlotte and Ronda, it's a little bit more dicey, right? Because the SmackDown women's roster feels non-existent. I don't even know if I could tell you who is on that roster other than I think Sasha and Naomi right now are the only two. Natalia,
you mean,
and
like
Shayna, mm-hmm.
and Sonya, technically. Yeah, Bayley was injured.
And then Aaliyah and Xia Li.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about them. Okay, so if we have Charlotte win here, then I mean, it will definitely depend on what they do with the women's tag titles. But like, I can't see Charlotte working with a Xia Li or working with an Aaliyah.
Well, I mean, what they really need to do is they need to bring up Io Shirai. She's been chilling in NXT, and they've just used her to every capacity that they possibly can. Mm-hmm. They need to bring her up. I feel like she's the only person in Dakota Kai and maybe Raquel Gonzalez who would need to be brought up to work with, you know, someone like Charlotte. Or I could see Ronda and Raquel going at it. I don't know how that would go. I wouldn't watch that personally. But but I mean, I think Io Shirai is absolutely the one at this point. Yeah. She's in a tag team right now. And it's like,
what is going on, right?
In a tag team?
I know.
She should have been brought up a year ago. So I think if we do look at the route of like Charlotte Flair is SmackDown Women's Champion or Ronda Rousey is SmackDown Women's Champion, we need to bring in someone else like Io Shirai or Dakota Kai, someone else like enough of the same storylines going back and forth, maybe even Bayley coming back. That would be interesting. But then you also have the dynamic of the four horsewomen involved. So if you want to do something different, Io Shirai is right there. She's waiting.
Yeah. That's my big question. It's kind of like, where does Ronda? I mean, I almost can't see a world where if Ronda's still around, and if Charlotte's still around, that they're not just continuing to feud in the main event, because what are you going to do? Put them mid card or like, I don't know. It's weird to think about. It is really strange.
Yeah, because Charlotte, even if Charlotte doesn't win, she doesn't just poof be gone from the title picture at all. I could, like I said, I thought they would put some sort of stipulation here on this match, which again, I think that's the only way to make it really serviceable. Maybe if the title changes hands, or even if it doesn't change hands, and like Matt said, they continue the feud until they do put a stipulation on it. Cause I can definitely see them put a stipulation on this match in the future. But what about if Ronda wins, then we get Shayna Baszler comes up to face her. I think that would be something, since they have a history together being in the MMA. Shayna helped train Ronda for when Ronda came back. It'll be a good program to help Ronda polish up. Plus Shayna's tagging with Natalya right now, so it could be like a whole, we got you here, Ronda, we want a crack at the titles, so she could work both Natalya and Shayna type thing. So
that's solid.
Thank you. you're welcome. Thanks for hiring me. No. Something to that effect. But it's definitely very murky on that SmackDown women's side. I don't know. Lo, have you heard anything about a draft? I haven't heard.
I have not. They just picked one, didn't they?
They did. In October. So maybe.
So I don't think they would. Yeah, I don't think they would do one again. Right.
They'll probably just do.
They better not.
Do they do a shake? What do they call it? The shake up the last time? Like, oh,
yeah.
Both popping up over here.
Well, they did a shake up last time, and then they also released people right after WrestleMania. So, I mean, I don't really know what they're going to do at this point.
This is so true.
Hopefully not that.
Yeah. Hopefully not that part. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the question, Ed Mo. We still got a few more things to kind of barge through here. So let's get back to some championship gold. We have the Women's Tag Team Championship. Currently, Queen Zelina and Carmella are the champions. I was going to say Queen Zarmella. And they're going up against Naomi and Sasha, who are then also going up against Rhea and Liv, and then versus Natalya and Shayna Baszler. This will be on day two. So again, a lot of these teams have been thrown together in the last month. But they have been, like, the matches we've been getting have been so freaking solid from all of these women, like the different Sasha versus Zelina, Liv and Rhea versus Natalya and Shayna. Like, no matter what, these women have been putting in work, and they've been a highlight of some of the weekly television. The problem is, it's just no care or love in this match at all. It was like, quick, we have women's tag belts, throw everybody in there, get everybody on the card. And that really kind of sucks, you know? It truly, truly sucks. And I kind of feel like this could go either way. Queen Zelina and Carmella, they've been kind of setting them up for a loss. So with them fighting, because Carmella is so focused on her wedding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, her wedding will be sometime in like late April or something like that.
I was not invited.
Yeah. Your invitation got lost in the mail. I think they meant
sure.
It.
Let's hope.
So I do love this. Like, it's kind of saving them, you know, it's kind of like shielding them a little bit. Like, Carmella is so focused on the wedding that she's not doing what she needs to do. So if they lose, it's fine. And then, you know, she has to actually go get married and probably go on a honeymoon. So the likelihood of them winning is very, very low here. But it's just like, who do they lose to? You know, of course I'm going to be like, I got my Naomi shirt on. I Naomi, Sasha crew in the house, and I love them, but it still just does feel thrown together. And then who do they face after that? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
my prediction will be Naomi and Sasha. But I just wish they had handled this with a little bit more care.
Mari.
Yeah. Oh, Matt.
Let me drag you. No, I have to jump. Okay. In. So last year, let me tell you, Mari had a problem.
What did I do?
Because Mari was looking at the main event with Sasha and Bianca and said, "I think that Sasha's going to win." I believe that was your prediction.
No, I did not. No,
okay, a couple weeks before,
Bianca is going to win, but either one of them could have won.
Look, no, but anyways, I don't think this is the thing. I don't think Sasha could win at Mania until it like really, really, really matters. Like, until it's a big like main event one-on-one match. I think that weird to me that she's 0-6, right?
0-6.
That's a weird record to me. And to me, it seems intentional for someone like Sasha. I don't think she's going to win here, as great as it would be to see this like tag team of Sasha and Naomi flourish. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm like thinking either. My thoughts on this are super quick. Like, either Natty and Shayna are taking it, and then there's the whole thing with Ronda that you mentioned, which would be really interesting. But more likely, I think that Liv and Rhea take it. And it doesn't feel like the most inspired, but I could see a world where it's Bianca with the championship and Rhea and Liv have their championships. Rhea. And then it kind of comes a little full circle from the stuff we've seen the last several months. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Rhea and Liv, Rhea just had them joints for the longest and did nothing with them.
Exactly. Yeah, she just swapped. Ooh.
Yeah.
Fun time. She just swapped her partners though, right? Like,
yeah. Lo, what do you think about that assessment? Yeah.
I mean, a lot of women in this match, like, have been in these tag teams that have been swapped out. Like Natalya's mm-hmm. been in more tag teams than I can even count at this point. True. And they've had Shayna in tag teams and Rhea mm-hmm. has been in tag teams, Liv, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But the only ones that I feel like have meshed well together so far, well, I feel like Rhea and Liv have. They've been yeah. together a short amount of time, but you think about history, right? Mm-hmm. You think about the history, like Naomi and Sasha have been in a tag team before. It did feature mm-hmm. Tamina, but they have worked in a tag team capacity before. So they do have a little bit more communication when it comes to different moves and stuff. Yep. But I want to see them win. I think, yeah, it would be nice to see Sasha finally win at WrestleMania in a singles capacity, but we've been waiting for Naomi to really have a big moment for how long now? Mm-hmm. And even if Sasha is involved, I mean, it's a win for both of them. So mm-hmm. I want to either see them win or I want to see Rhea and Liv win. I feel like the fans have really connected well with them. A lot of the fans really love Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley as singles competitors, and mm-hmm. they have worked well together. I mean, I think their aesthetics fit nicely together as a tag team. So I wouldn't be mad if they won either. I think Carmella and Zelina definitely need to get rid of the titles at this point. Like,
yeah.
they've been a really weird match, in my opinion. Like, I think they're both like really, really strong alpha female characters that really had no business being paired together in the first place. Like,
agreed.
I personally have not liked them as a tag team. I think they both work well with mm-hmm. singles competitors, and they shouldn't have been paired in the first place. And to be completely honest with you, the fact that they're using Carmella's wedding is almost like a reason why they're losing the titles is something that I do not like. I really don't yeah. like the way that they've been intertwining her and Corey Graves. Like, it's been really weird to me.
Yeah.
And I know it's publicity. I know it's publicity mm-hmm. for the reality show, right. but like, no one rewatched the reality show. I did because I'm nosy, mm-hmm. but like,
I get it. I completely understand.
I don't know. See them. Yeah. And then don't even get me started yeah. on Natalya and Shayna. Like, they are two strong competitors. Like, Natalya, don't get me wrong. Natalya is damn near like the anchor of the WWE women's division because she's reliable. Like, mm-hmm. you can put her in any type of position and she will do the job, like 100%. But mm-hmm. like, Shayna has been at this point on the roster that I have not liked for a long time now, where
right.
we know what she was doing in NXT. Like, she was running through people, mm-hmm. like absolutely Destroyer. Ruthless. And as soon as she got up to the main roster, was like, well, is this the same person? Like, now you're pairing her with Natty, which is not a bad pairing, but they didn't need to be added to this match. Absolutely no. not. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have either been a three-way or it could have been Sasha and Sasha, that got me on the mind.
Oh,
you're good. Sasha yeah. and Naomi versus Zelina and Carmella. And I felt like it would have been a good match.
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm not a fan of let's have yeah. four teams in a match together. Y'all did that last year.
Yes. Exactly. That's the yeah. thing for me is that they did it last year. And so it then makes it tough. I mean, I'm not trying to make it about like us as podcasters, but that's where we have the moments in our heads where it's like, wait, who was in that four-way match or that mm-hmm. four-way? And then which right. year did that take place? And like, what's going on? I'm totally with you, though. I wish that I would love to see Sasha and Naomi with the championships. And if they win here, I'd be so happy. I'm just tired of getting my hopes up around Naomi or Sasha. I've probably had so many predictions against Naomi being successful, especially in the last year, just because, you know, we know how things have been with her. And they don't always treat her like she deserves to be treated. And, you know, maybe like hearing both of you, the more I think about it, my prediction would almost have to be Liv and Rhea here. And I don't want to see that personally, but that's kind of, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So I think
I don't want to see sad Sasha.
Yeah. I think the problem here is, you know what? This is our show and we can do whatever we want to. So we're going to do a mid podcast shoot. That's right.
Damn.
Yes, I'm doing it right
this
here.
This is not
right
mid podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's actually like near the end kind of right. Okay. It's like, oh, no, in the regular. But we have so much card left. But
yeah.
So the shooting and wrestling means any unscripted real life events. For us, the shoot here is where we go over something that really grinds our gears or something we just want to give a shout out for. So let's my shoot segment this week is the women's matches themselves on WrestleMania. So we're speaking about all these women. This match, like I said, it's a lot of good workers, but none of them should be in these tag teams, really. And it brings me to the subject of the shoot is, why are there no women's matches, like regular non-titled women's matches on this card? On this card, the only women's matches are for both the women's championships and then these tag titles. Nothing else. The men have all these frivolous matches that we're going to get into after this one. It's just frivolous match after frivolous match. Hopefully we'll breeze right through them. Yeah. And I'm very upset because as much as I want Naomi and Sasha to win the belts, and they'll officially be my pick no matter what, I'll just pick them. Naomi should be in a singles match against Sonya Deville here at WrestleMania. They built that storyline so well over a couple of months, and I don't feel like that there's a good resolve to it. That Saudi show where they teamed with Ronda and Charlotte was a really good match. And okay, nope. I'm being nice. It was a good storyline match. The match itself wasn't that great.
You mean last month?
Yeah, last month. That's why I said I had to pull back.
I had a lot of thoughts on that match. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I know. You hated it. Yes. No, but storyline wise, it made sense. So why aren't we getting Naomi versus Sonya Deville? Why did Naomi get thrown into a random tag team with Sasha Banks to go after these title belts? Is it because, again, you guys needed to get people on the card that you knew would pull money
against?
Exactly. Like, why isn't Sasha facing Charlotte? We know why she's not facing Charlotte, even though that was what some of the buildup was, you know, for the past couple weeks. Sure, whatever. But it's like Liv and Rhea. Rhea should be a solo star right now. So should Liv. Liv was doing really great there at the end of last year, like Lo pointed out. Like, why are we now thinking that they might be the second best choice to win the tag titles? You know what I'm saying? Like, this doesn't make sense after Rhea spent 6 months holding those tag team championships with Nikki ASH. Like, it's just very annoying. And again, same things with Shayna Baszler. I didn't like Shayna's NXT run because I thought it was too dominant. So when she did come to the main roster and she was able to get, she was shown a little bit of vulnerability, and then she also showed her charisma, I was like, okay, this is a character I can get behind. I've never loved Shayna Baszler more than when she's been like on Raw and with her tag team with Nia Jax. I really love that run. So I don't mind that, but I still think she should be somewhere having her own feud, even if it's with Sasha or if it's with Naomi, in a sense, like, because they were kind of building that as well. It's just like, why are all of these women forced to be in this match where it doesn't truly make all that much sense, thrown together a month before when all these men can have all these random matches? Like, I demand women filler matches. I don't care what anybody says. Even if you call them filler matches, I demand them for the women. Am I off base here, Lo?
No, it's interesting you say that, because there was a rumor that there would be a women's battle royal at WrestleMania. And I read last night that now they're stating that there won't be because they don't have enough women ready to do the match. So, I mean, honestly, I would not even be shocked if they told us on Friday at SmackDown that they're doing a women's battle royal, or if they just throw it on the card, because they just announced last night that they're doing the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on SmackDown with their U.S. champion Finn Balor in the match. Like, do not have your U.S. champion, your Intercontinental champion, with a match at WrestleMania. I don't care if it's in the middle of the card. Those are your champions that should be represented at the biggest, on the biggest stage of them all. So the fact that they just threw Finn Balor into a battle royal, like, make it make sense.
Make it make
exactly
sense. But this, I think, match card, I feel, is like, ridiculous.
I feel like that, going like back to Sasha, like, I feel like that with Sasha, where they're like, how do we put Sasha in? Where do we put Sasha in? Mm-hmm. You're totally, I 1000% agree with you, Mari, that we were expecting the Shayna Naomi match here. Mm-hmm. And like, part of me wonders if that would have happened if Bailey had been ready to return, or if someone had been ready to team with Sasha here. Or if Sasha hadn't been injured, maybe they would have built towards something, but it just feels off to me. And then, you know, maybe like if Naomi and Sasha don't win, that to me would say, okay, this was not the plan, because it doesn't make sense to throw them together and then them losing. But right. I'm 100% with you. And it has, you know, more, maybe like a broader point. So one, yes, women's filler matches, to women's celebrity matches that don't include mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey. I don't know who those celebrities would be, but I know that Cardi B, I don't know if she's still pregnant or not. So don't at me. But she's not still pregnant, but she does want to beat someone up. So like maybe she'll right. train one day. Maybe we'll get her in there. But you know, I think like it really to me goes back to the storylines. Like, are you investing in women's storylines? Are you building up women's storylines long term? Right. They were doing some great stuff with Naomi and Sonya Deville for a while, and then it kind of just feels like it was dropped, kind of, you know, or dropped too soon, especially when you're on the road to WrestleMania. So
they were right there. They just need the final blow-up match.
More investment in building stars, and you know, Lo brought the point earlier of Brock Lesnar winning. And Ronda Rousey winning the Rumble and them not needing it. And I don't know if there's a fear of building stars or what that's about, but like, that's what we need in order to have WWE booking more of these women's matches. And I think it's just like, they need to look at their women as potential draws. Like, they could have half of the card on Mania and still kill it, just like the men, and even better in so many cases, but they're just not given that time and energy and investment.
Right. Like KO is getting some time against Stone Cold. Trish is supposed to be there, apparently, right? She's going to be like sharing hosting duty. She has her boots. That's what she told Becky. Why
is
Trish
is? Friday? I thought she was doing the Canada shows. I think is she doing Mania?
I heard about the Canada shows, but we got a question from Derek, I believe, from who's a listener, that mentions that Trish is supposed to quote unquote host. So maybe she's hosting part of it, because I didn't hear her being announced as like the host of Mania, but yeah, there has been some weird stuff with Trish lately where they've been like, she's been around.
Right. And even not Trish, where's Lita at? Lita, you know, she went up against Becky at Saudi show. Like, she could be doing something right now. Ivory cut that really great promo after the women's match.
Yeah.
Please give her a new right to censor. I would love that. Or put her up against somebody she thinks is dressing too provocatively. You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't we get something to that effect for the women's matches, instead of just haphazardly throwing them together like this and only letting them represent through the championships and stuff like that? Like, there's so many things they could do. And why is Jake Paul or Logan Paul, whichever one of the Paul, why are they here? Like, I get them off.
I don't know the difference.
I'm just upset.
Look, I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe if we look on the bright side, look at us. We've been here. We've been mostly talking about women's wrestling for this podcast. We're going to breeze through these men's, and then we're kind of, but I think like that's kind of, you know, this has been a long standing fight, and maybe it's just a reality and not a surprising one, but like the fight isn't over to have that representation. And even when we see that things are going well, that doesn't mean, you know, some people say, oh, like, problem solved. We've had, we had a show where a pay-per-view or a premium live event where half of the matches are women and half the matches are men. And like, that feels like progress, but like, there's still work to do to actually make sure that they're regarded in, you know, at a similar level, that they're each getting merch. Like, I went on and on about Nikki A.S.H. not getting a mask on WWE's shop for a long time, which was just kind of me. And I don't think that would have happened to, you know, one of the men who was. But anyway, you know, that's to I just think like it's just a reminder that there's so much more work to do. And, you know, hopefully WWE hears it and they hear how vocal people are about wanting more and better.
Exactly. All right, let's get to the rest of this card here, because we've already...
hitting the speed, I don't know what to call it. I just feel like there's a button. Fast I wish there was like button. A bell. Fast forward button.
All right, so again, here we go. We have The Miz and Logan Paul versus The Mysterios. Miz unmasked Rey Mysterio and then gave it to Logan Paul this week. I do not care. I do not care. I do not care. I hope the Mysterios win because Rey is the ish and Dominic is him on NXT. He was on NXT the other week. Oh my God, it was so good. But I don't care about Miz or I don't care about Logan Paul. I love the Miz.
You don't care about the team together.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because I don't even know what they're fighting for, to be quite honest. It doesn't I don't care.
Pride?
Anything from
I think they're fighting for pride.
Pride? No.
Their pride?
No, I'm good. Low, you good?
Logan, wait. Let's see. What else?
I have no thoughts on this match.
Yeah, I'm like looking at their pictures. Like, let me see.
Gowns.
I don't know. Gowns. No. Yeah. I tried.
All right. Next up, we have Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin.
This
one's been going on for a long time too. This has been some long-term storytelling, but it's just like clearly feels like they just want Drew on the card because you know Drew is he's a big mover. Sure. People love Drew, but again, it's Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss
and Happy Corbin. Care. No, they love Happy Corbin. Happy Corbin. They love Happy Corbin.
They did the montage when last year he was Sad Corbin. I miss Sad Corbin.
Great video package, by the way. And you know what? Like, I mean, I miss Sad Corbin too, because I really, even watching that video package back, I started to feel sad for him again. I never have felt Riddick Moss. I'm not sure he's there exactly, but you know, it's good. You know, he has a chance to be around these two stars that know what they're doing. So hopefully it'll rub off on him a little bit. And you know, Drew wins here, right? Is that what we think happens?
Yeah, I think so. Drew.
Has to. Him and his sword.
Look at that. Whoa, any other Angela. Thoughts on these two people?
Absolutely not. You know what? Actually, I do have one thought. I feel like Drew has almost dropped to like mid card now when he was at like top of the card, you know, what, a year ago or two years ago. So it's been like an interesting transition. And I kind of feel like it could be the same thing for Baron Corbin. Like he was kind of a little bit at the top of the card when he won the King of the Ring. And, you know, he was one of their top heels, in my opinion. And I feel now they've kind of just dwindled them down to the mid card. And to be completely honest with you, I think it's a little bit scary for Drew to be in mid card because that's where he was at the beginning of his career. He was higher up because he was, you know, Vince McMahon's protege. And then he kind of started dwindling down. And then he was on like main event or like superstars with Heath Ledger and Jinder Mahal, and then he got fired. So I hope they start utilizing him at a high card talent, but I don't know who he would face at this point because you have Roman tied up, you have Brock tied up, you know, now there's going to be one championship. So it's like, who would he go for? He would have to go for like a mid card title. He would have to go for like the Intercontinental title or the United States title. But at the same time, they're not even being treated properly. Finn Balor in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
And Ricochet is on WrestleMania Friday, aka the WrestleMania kickoff show. That is SmackDown.
AKA SmackDown. I'm with you. I think
I agree.
One thing I would suggest for WWE to do is to like bring in like a legend or a part-timer just to even give people things to do. Like they didn't need to do that with the Lita Becky situation. And I loved that, but you know, if they had some other people, they could kind of tap and pull in and be like, Drew, here's a new obstacle. Let's throw in this X Factor character. I don't mean X-Pac, you know, just give us something.
He very much feels like he's treading water until they figure out smoke settles with.
But you know what's so interesting though? They have him doing like PR for like Money in the Bank here. He was on the news the other day and he's doing PR. So obviously in some type of fashion, they still do see him as like a top star in their company, but he's wrestling at mid card level. So it like doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know.
Has he won Money in the Bank?
No,
right? No. Has he? Feel
he was
like?
In
I don't
it.
Know. Maybe he has.
It. Or he was close at one point. Did Drew win Money in the Bank at all? I don't know. Maybe not. The Money in the Bank cash-ins have been like really like apart from Big E's last year, right? That was a lot last year. Yeah. They have been real.
Drew has never won Money in the Bank.
Okay, so maybe that's where we go. So I think we're all got Drew there. The SmackDown Tag Team Champion match, the Usos are the current champions versus Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Do the Usos win here? Or
that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I feel so thrown off. Yeah, I mean, assume, right?
You assume there's no build up.
But so anything could happen. Anything could happen at Mania.
Yeah, Rick Boogs and Shinsuke are like I love them together, but it does kind of feel like they're about to break them up for some reason. I'm getting that like that vibe because Rick Boogs has like
Heel Vince Boogs. McMahon.
I don't know. When I say break them up, I don't know if they're going to turn on each other. I just feel like they might not wrestle with each other anymore. You know, depending on how they do that, because Rick Boogs looks like what Vince wants a wrestler to look like. He has that real, real old school look.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, so I could see them breaking up sometime soon. So just for the sheer fact that there's not any actual storyline, I'm just gonna say the Usos retain.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Shinsuke and Rick Boogs win. But
I wouldn't. It's like a throwaway. It's like, what do we? I mean, here's the thing with the Usos. It all comes down to the fact that they're part of the bloodline, and we know how Roman feels when the Usos lose. Then it has to be a storyline where he's disappointed with them. I mean, maybe they keep the championships here and then they have all the gold, or
that's what I'm thinking.
I honestly don't feel like I have the energy for this match.
No, and I agree with you too. I mean, again, I hate to say it, like, I see Shinsuke Nakamura as, again, one of those people that was higher up on the card a couple months ago. He had a title, like, and now he doesn't. Now he's wrestling as a tag team. Like, and I get that people should be versatile as wrestlers. Do not get me wrong. But I feel like a lot of these superstars that they're placing high up on the card, that then they lose their title and they don't know what to do. It's almost like, okay, like, well, let's just put him in a tag team with the guy that plays guitar for him. Like, what? No. I mean, obviously, Boogs wrestles. We know that. But I don't think Shinsuke Nakamura should be a tag team competitor at this point. Like, I remember he was tagging with Sami Zayn for a while, which I found entertaining because I do like both of them and I felt like they worked well together. But Shinsuke Nakamura has enough talent, in my opinion, to be a singles competitor right now. I don't think he needs to be in a tag team. And having them face off against the Usos is like a strange mix to me.
The fact that Shinsuke hasn't gone up against heel Roman is so disconcerting to me. I mean, that would be such a good dynamic there. Heel Roman versus Shinsuke, the WWE Golden Boy versus King of Strong Style. Like, how can you not have done that just within the past year? You know, just
it could still happen.
I mean,
even that episode of SmackDown. I mean, I think that would have been something that brought in a lot of people because you don't expect to see Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roman Reigns on a random SmackDown, but I can also see why it hasn't happened yet, because I feel like their paths just haven't crossed.
True. Well, we shall see. All of us on the Usos for that one. This one's kind of interesting, the Edge versus AJ Styles stuff. That'll be on day one. Edge has been so compelling in his new heel role. AJ Styles is AJ Styles, so I think this is going to be, I think AJ and Edge, you know, they're both older, but AJ can carry a match, like, so I'm very much looking forward to that, the match, but I'm definitely looking forward to Edge's Edge, the heelness to come back. So who's going to win is kind of tough here.
Oof, This is weird.
It's tough. It's very tough.
I guess I would give AJ the win only because I do feel like Edge has been getting won over on, I mean, even just from the beatdown from when the match was decided and announced, like we've been getting a lot of Edge looking good. I think AJ could use just a nice like face WrestleMania win in general, especially because we had this like year or so where it was all the Amos stuff going on. And so, you know, just like kind of build him up and reestablish that he doesn't, like, he's not here. He's not playing games. Yeah. He is the champ that runs the camp or whatever he'd call himself because he doesn't have a championship. But, you know, I think that that's why I see this could be the match. I don't think it would be my match of the night, but it could be the match of the night. Whatever night it's on.
It is on day one, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, and Bianca. Becky and Bianca.
So I take that back.
Right.
But I mean, it could, but I did, when I saw this on paper, it's like, this could be, this would be an awesome match.
Exactly.
In theory.
Lo, any thoughts before I move on?
I think this is one of those ones that people considered like a quote unquote dream match. I mean, these two competitors have been huge superstars in their own right. You have AJ Styles, who did a lot of work in TNA and then came over to WWE and has still made an impact. No pun intended, you know, while he's been, you know, in this company, but you also have Edge, who has just come back to wrestling pretty much. And now he's facing off against AJ Styles. This match, I think, probably would have hit differently if it was like 10 years ago. I think now that they're older, I think a lot of people, they still want to see the match because it's two superstars that, you know, are great. But I feel like Edge and AJ Styles are not at the top of their game at this point. Like, we needed like rated R superstar Edge, like 2006 dirty heel. AJ's clean, AJ Styles. From like Impact, who everyone just loved and adored because he was so talented, and he was a TNA original. That's what we needed. Yeah. These men, you know, they've been through a lot, injuries, stuff like that, and now it's like, okay, now we're bringing them in to do this match. I think it'll still be a good match, but it won't hit like it would 10 years ago when they were at their prime.
Good point. Good.
Well, damn. Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm a big fan of like the, you know, people age like fine wine. To loop in the wrestling wind down connection here. And I think that they're better. I'm sure that they're better in certain ways. Like, I always feel like older people in the wrestling tend to give these better promos. Like, they just get better at promos, understanding how to like psychology.
And, yeah.
Like, for instance, Lita was someone where I was like, damn, these are some good promos. And she was never like the promo person. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like with AJ and Edge, they could have really had the benefit of a strong storyline, but they didn't really get that storyline and that long-term storytelling. And Edge does a really good job of like sucking people in. But yes, from a match quality perspective, I 100% agree. Like 2005 Edge versus 2005 AJ Styles, when they were both probably maybe even arguably at their hottest, or at least peaks for each of them could have been really powerful, even 2010 to your point. So you know, but I mean, we'll see what we get, but you summed up exactly how I'm kind of feeling about this match.
Yeah, nice. I agree with all of that. So next up we have the so Stone Cold Steve Austin will appear on the KO show hosted by Kevin Owens. KO did do a very funny bit on Raw this week where he came out dressed as Stone Cold. He hit the music. I like that he hit the music twice and everybody thought that Stone Cold was coming out.
People are hilarious. It is so funny though to watch that. It's hilarious. Him punking people out. My only thing is I wish he actually would have shaved his head. I wish he would have actually shaved his head.
No. I'm cool with the ball cap.
Commit to the bit. It was a bad ball cap.
Don't overcommit to the bit. No, I thought that was expert level of trolling. So I'm such a fan. Edmo again asked thoughts on the rumor that the KO show with Austin will be closing night one.
I've seen that on Twitter as well, that people think it will close out night one to go into a match the following night. And I don't think so. I think it might be right before like Ronda and Charlotte. But I 100% do not think it'll close it out. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I can't say enough good things about him. Like, he is one of my favorite superstars, but he is not an active superstar. So it's like, to have him at a like closing out the night makes no sense to me. Yes, he's from Texas. Yes, it's a big deal that he's here, but he's not wrestling. Like, it's a segment. So I feel like they'll put him closer to the end, but he's not closing out that show. Like, they want someone pointing at that damn sign to close out the show. And they're not doing that. But I also don't. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't see, I could be wrong here, I don't see Stone Cold wrestling. I don't. And if he does, like, it's going to be very short. I think Stone Cold has done a really good job. He's one of the only wrestlers that I could think of off the top of my head who retired and stayed retired. Yes, he's done the different in-ring promos and he might, you know, do a stunner every once in a while. But like, he has not had a full match. And I think a lot, there's been a lot of apprehension from the fans who say, you know, Stone Cold has been one of the only ones who has actually stayed retired. You have Shawn Michaels who has came back. You've had, you know, all these other superstars who say, I'm done. And then they go wrestle either in WWE years later or Impact or AEW or somewhere else. And I hope that Stone Cold is different from them. I hope that he does not decide, well, let me just do a match the next night. Obviously, I'm going to watch it. But at the same time, I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, money grab pretty much. And I don't want him to be like that. Because he's done so much outside the wrestling community that I don't feel like he needs a check from WrestleMania to wrestle Kevin Owens for like 3 minutes.
Yeah. He gets checks from WrestleMania, I'm sure, even when he's not there. Like, he's, I would love to know how much, I legitimately would love to know how much Stone Cold makes from WWE each like year merch, now. Yeah. And I'm not even talking about the Legends deal. I'm just talking about like all of like the royalties from things. Even merch. Even merch, still merch.
Like, and the shows, all of his tape library and all of that. How cool would it be if Stone Cold like comes out on KO show night one and then KO has to wrestle like a proxy the next night or something like that? Like, it would really depend on who it is. But I agree. I'm not sure if I really want to see Stone Cold like wrestle an actual match. Like, I would much rather him be like, hey, you go wrestle this match for me, as long as it made sense. Maybe Braun Breaker. No, just like, I don't know. But that would be kind of interesting, I guess.
Oh, well, no, never mind. Continue. Sorry. We have not talked about Seth Rollins.
Yes. No, we can put him here if you want to. Because he has no match technically, because he didn't beat AJ Styles for a spot, and he didn't beat Kevin Owens for a spot. So he said on this past Raw that he will be on Raw this week. He's basically hijacking the show until he gets a WrestleMania opponent. The rumors are it's going to be Cody Rhodes, but we'll find out on Raw, you know. From what we think. So Cody's signed.
That's the rumor on the street, is that he is signed.
Did somebody make up a card already? Who did
check out YouTube for a bootleg graphic of Cody? The whoever made this even put the peacock.
I know. That's what I was like, this is nice. Whoever's emblem that is in the corner there.
We keep seeing this with like fake stuff where they're like, oh, Jeff Hardy's in AEW, and you'll see like the official Jeff Hardy's All Elite, but then it'll be like 10 fan made things. Yep. It's great.
So Seth. Who knows, man? Next up, we have Pat McAfee and Austin Theory on day two. I'm happy for Pat because I'm so glad that he gets to live his dream. I hope he beats the snot out of Austin Theory.
Drag him.
That's all I got to say. You know, snatch him.
Yes.
That's all I want.
That picture of Austin Theory is scary.
I don't like him.
That's what he gives, you know? He just, you don't want anything to do with this man.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to murder anyone. That's just the vibe I get from him.
Not this render.
It's too close to home. Yeah. No. So, I don't know. What do you think about... I'm excited about this match. It's a good... I'm excited in the sense that, like, you know, when you have like the big meaningful match happen. I don't know. Maybe it'll like this might come on after Edge versus AJ Styles and them going for like 40 minutes or whatever they're going to end up doing. Oh, and then we'll get this as like the cool breather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cool down or what, you know, like that spot where the crowd's kind of more dead.
Edge is going
like
day one.
I'm glad that I hope that this fills that spot, you know, because in the past, many moons ago, that used to be like the women's match spot again when there was like one women's match. So let's hope that this what's his name, Austin Theory and Pat McAfee goes in that spot. Let's see if Vince McMahon pops his head out there. That could be fun. That'd and be interesting.
Yeah. All right. We have an
any. So wait. Pat McAfee's winning here. Is that our prediction?
Yeah. Anything goes match, Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville. So this is the only celebrity match on this card I will accept.
I mean, Logan Paul. Oh,
because
I should let you finish.
Yes. I like this. I like the build up to this. I like the Royal Rumble appearance, then Sammy going to the Jackass red carpet. I love all of that. So I'm fine. I'm totally fine with this match, and it's going to be anything goes. So that, I mean, can you imagine? They're breaking out the stapler. I'm thinking somebody's getting stapled. Yeah, I think this is going to be like an odd one with the anything goes. And Johnny Knoxville is keen. Like, that's the thing. If you're going to have like celebrities on here, they need to be like Bad Bunny. They need to be like Johnny Knoxville, where they're like, yeah, give it to me. Like, Johnny Knoxville told Sammy to really kick him at one point. So it's like, I'm all down for this match. So I hope Sammy wins. You know, he might not, because it's an anything goes match, so anybody can interfere. Maybe the other Jackass guys will come out.
That's
and
what I was thinking.
Up.
Yeah.
But I'm just gonna go with Sammy, because I'm gonna say Sammy. Lo, you are you feeling this match?
I actually like this match. I texted Sammy. He did not text me back. So you know.
Oh, look at you! Yeah.
I think that this buildup has been really fun compared to like the different other celebrities that they've had. I mean, Johnny Knoxville, I feel like he's generational. Like, you know, your parents probably know about Jackass, and then younger generations know about Jackass because it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
So a lot of people know who Johnny Knoxville is, but rather than like a Logan Paul, who, you know, older people don't know who the hell Logan Paul is.
Yeah.
I feel like they've done a really good job at making Sami Zayn a heel, but he's also been like an enjoyable heel. He's been so funny that it's hard for you to not still want to keep up with what he's doing, because he's just so comedic. And I feel like having him in a match with Johnny Knoxville makes a lot of sense, because they're just fun characters together. It's something that you don't have to take too seriously on the WrestleMania card. A lot of these other matches, not the Logan Paul match, but the other ones, like, you know, you are taking them seriously. Here it's kind of like, okay, we know it's probably going to be, you know, some jackassery. But I think Sammy's probably going to pick up the win, but I do see some interferences from the different, you know, Jackass people. The only thing I am surprised about is that this storyline has gone on for so long, because Jackass came out like months ago. So the fact that they've still been able to utilize Johnny Knoxville is impressive.
And the fact
that he still shows up. But you know what? You have to appreciate him, because he's like, look, the movie's still in theaters. People could go get their tickets now if they want. It's still out there. Normally we'll get like the, ooh,
it's great marketing
this week, next week. Yeah, it's like, I mean, good for him. And you know what? It's a good, I mean, it's still definitely an aligned audience with the wrestling fans. So I'm not excited about this or him or that, but I love Sammy. And this will be another fun one, kind of like in the same spaces like the Pat McAfee Austin Theory gag or whatever.
I can definitely see this being played for laughs instead of like blood and guts. It's going to be really like funny weird stuff they might use. So they, you know, they're going to bust out a shopping cart at some point.
Oh, if there's not a shopping cart,
then what are we what are they even doing? And then finally, we got to talk about the Raw Tag Team Championships match. RK-Bro, the current champions, versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. I mean, the only good thing is, like, again, this is going to be a really good match. Like, they've been showing out on Raw for the past couple of weeks, like all the mixtures of these three teams. But I just don't know where you go, because RK-Bro just got these titles, you know, off of Alpha Academy, right? And then the Street Profits just showed up and said, hey, we want in. And they're like, sure. So the only thing that I can think of and what I'll go with, I'll say Street Profits win here, just so that if Bianca wins, then they got all the gold. But
yeah, everything's about Bianca.
Exactly.
Everything should be about Bianca. I want Rhea and Liv to win the championships just so they could have a moment backstage with Bianca where they're like, ooh, hey, and yeah, then with the Street Profits. That's all. Yeah, this is a fun one. I mean, I said it last week. Chad Gable has been doing like
so good,
some really strong work. Mm-hmm. And even like outshining Otis from a character perspective, which is
right
notable, I'd say.
Very notable.
I'm excited for this, and I'm glad that it's only these three teams and not like, let's just throw in the kitchen sink while we're at it, you know? Yeah.
Low anything?
I don't know.
I hope the Street Profits win.
Yeah.
I don't like the pairing of Matt Riddle and Randy Orton. Like, I read that they were supposed to break up a while ago and they haven't.
Yeah.
I think I just don't like Matt Riddle. That's probably where it sits at with me. And like I said, I think his feet are musty. But like Randy Orton, I feel like Randy Orton deserves better at this point of his career. Like, I don't mm-hmm. really think he should be tag teaming with Matt Riddle. Like, Matt Riddle needs to go sit down somewhere, in my opinion. And with Alpha Academy, I mean, I just can't get on board with them. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's a weird pairing. I'm still used to American Alpha with Jason Jordan and Chad Gable. I think they work so well together. I think they worked so well together. And I don't know. I unfortunately see them being a part of something with Gable Stevenson when he gets brought up, which I don't like him either. So, but I feel like it's kind of like the same thing. Like, they're very like USA Olympics, like Alpha Academy, like, the One Piece, the singlet. Like, and I read that Gable Stevenson accidentally spilled the beans and said that he's going to be at WrestleMania and quickly deleted the tweet.
Yeah.
So
he did say that. Like,
where are you going to be at WrestleMania? Are you going to be in the building? Or are you going to get involved in a match?
No.
Or maybe I don't even.
Bad news.
I know it sounds like I'm like such a hater, because I'm like, I don't like these people, but I do this on my podcast as well. I feel like the people that I don't necessarily like are justified because they've either done some really stupid shit or, that's pretty much it. They've done some really stupid shit and they still are given a platform to do like this great work. And I just don't like that. I feel like it's very two-sided. Riddle. And I feel like it's very two-sided. And Gable Stevenson as well. Like, he has accusations out there. It bothers me. Yeah, it bothers me.
Yeah. It's not. No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know what? It's funny because, like, normally I realize that we just don't. We don't talk about, for the most part, avoid talking about these people just because, like, it's not fun to be disgusted by certain people and things that they've done or do. Right. But at the same time, here we are because we're reviewing a match going on. Well, and, you know, it is kind of wild. Like, why would they invest that energy? This is like a secondary shoot to what we were just talking about, the women's stuff. But it's like, I'll never understand why WWE invests energy into people who are like so problematic. But they don't need to do that.
Yeah, really, I feel like other companies do it as well. But I think WWE, as one of the largest wrestling companies that there is, should be holding themselves and their superstars accountable. We're in 2022. Like, we're still doing the same shit that we've been doing for years. Like, it almost reminds me of like the wellness policy. Like, it's similar, like, because they do not hold these superstars accountable. Like, now, if you notice, no one gets suspended for wellness policy. Yep. Like, I can't think of the last person who got suspended for wellness policy.
Randy Orton.
Okay, Randy Orton. He was probably smoking weed, to be honest with you. But like, no one else has been suspended. And I find that extremely odd. Like, I feel like they're superstars that are doing stuff, but they're keeping it so on the down low now because they don't want that negative publicity. But you have to keep people accountable. Like, maybe if a superstar is put on blast for, you know, a wellness and policy infraction, they won't do it again. But also, you don't know either because WWE released 80 superstars last year. Were any of those wellness related? We don't know.
And then the whole Jeff thing was kind of
Allegedly they were, I mean, even from what I've seen in like Fightful Select, you know, and otherwise that I've heard, because like that information circulates everywhere, they had some regrets about doing that so quickly, getting rid of him so quickly after that situation.
But I read last week that he supposedly walked out of the match. I think the thing about wrestling and wrestling Twitter is like, you never know it's true until you get like a confirmed source. And I think that's what messes us up a lot as like a community, is because so many people jump on stuff at the first moment they get, and they don't actually go out and research it. And I think that hurts us a lot. Because honestly, like, I still don't know the real Jeff Hardy story. I don't.
No.
Yeah. And that's and that's the thing too. Like, that's why we like don't pretend to report the news here. You know, we touch on big stuff.
We are not journalists.
We are not journalists.
This is not a journalism podcast.
And that is a great point. Because also with wrestling, it's like they're at places, they're at different companies where they can't even talk about stuff until they leave. And then once they leave, it's kind of like, well, how truthful is this? Because now are you kind of upset because you know when you left? It's like, not trying to discredit any of their experiences or anything like that, but it's just like it's such a weird world of this is what I heard, but then card subject to change. So even if whatever you said you heard you thought that was correct at the time, card subject to change, now it's different. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So it's really interesting when it comes to wrestling and journalism. But Lo, who did you have in this match, in the tag team match?
The Street Profits.
Street Profits. Yes. So hopefully Bianca and her men have all of the gold, baby. And if she wins first, wait, what night is this? Let me see.
Night two. I have.
Okay. So, whatever. We'll see.
Maybe she'll come out to the ring. She'll have her braid in her hand because Becky cut it off, but she'll also have her championship in her other hand. I would be so upset. We would have to have a conversation about if we could keep watching at that point. But we'll get there. We'll cross the bridge when we get there.
Well, that's it. That is the WrestleMania 38 card. Let me just quickly go through what the proposed day and nights are for these matches, apparently. So on day one, we have the Raw Women's Champion match, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair. We will get the Miz and Logan Paul versus the Mysterios, Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. We'll get the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, the Usos versus Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura. We'll get Edge versus AJ Styles. We'll get the SmackDown Women's Championship match, Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. And then we'll get Stone Cold Steve Austin on the KO show. Oh my God, I just saw that order, and that is ordered as if Stone Cold and them are going on last. That's really interesting. Okay, and that's like eight. Let me just count that again. I think that's like eight matches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, that's like eight segments. While day two so far only has five on here, we have the title versus title match, Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion versus Brock Lesnar, the WWE Champion. We have the Women's Tag Championship match, Queen Zelina and Carmella are the champions versus Naomi and Sasha Banks versus Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Natalya and Shayna Baszler. We got Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory, Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville. And then the Raw Tag Team Championship match, RK-Bro versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. So they're going to have to add the Seth stuff, I'm assuming.
Right.
That's probably that. Maybe that'll go on day two.
And I feel like they might add a U.S. Championship match or an Intercontinental Championship match. So maybe that would go like on day two.
Thing. Yeah. For Intercontinental, Ricochet going on Thursday. For so far for the U.S., Finn being in that battle royal, going to be in that battle royal. So,
yeah.
Man, like, I don't know, man. That's weird. But that's, again, so far five matches on day two. So, I don't know. That's a little weird. Lo, thank you so much for joining us. This was a long one. We got into it. I love getting in depth. We're so sorry. It went a little bit over. But, I mean, I enjoyed this. This was such a fun podcast. Can you tell the people where they can find you? You know, shout out all of your plugs. Let them know what you're doing, what you're up to.
Yes. So thank you guys so much for having me. You can find Wrestling Wind Down on anywhere you listen to your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at WWDCAST. We do have our Wine 316 shirts, but we will be selling them on a different website soon. And we also have our Black Wrestling Queen shirt, which is available until the end of next month. The link is on our Twitter as well.
Nice, nice. Matt, where can people find you?
The people could find me here on the Wrestling Wrap Up each week with you, Mari. Just a reminder to folks that we will have our podcast next week following up on WrestleMania. Or no, next week is WrestleMania. So we'll be doing the stereo recaps live Raw each night after Mania, when we're probably insanely tired and possibly insanely frustrated depending on what happens that night, or insanely hyped up from what happened that night. And then we will also have our show that following week, and then we'll be off for about a month for a little bit of a break, just like to remind the people, just so they know, so they're not worried about our whereabouts. Other than that, you could find me right now. Well, I don't know if I said Matt Scott GW on the social media. And the other thing is, I over here on Rob as a podcast will not going to announce it yet. I'll probably announce it next week, but I have a Survivor podcast coming up. So doing some Survivor 42 coverage of that for the people of Rob as a podcast. So I'll mention that later when that's announced and confirmed. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. Mari, tell all the people where you've been up to. You've been everywhere is what I've seen.
Been a little busy. You can always find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Of course, we're here every week on the Wrestling Wrap Up until we are not here. Like Matt said, we will be going on a hiatus for a month. And that'll be after our April 9th show. I also will be, I'm on post-show recaps on the Atlanta podcast. Me, Chappelle, and Latanya Starks are covering Atlanta, the season three, for the series premiere, and episode two came out on Thursday. So we're going to be breaking down those wild episodes. So go to postshowrecaps.com and check us out on the Atlanta feed over there. That's going to be fun. Those episodes were just wild. So I just had a podcast launch and debut. Me and Sarah Carradine will be taking down your favorite true crime properties over on the Crime Scene podcast. That's Crime Scene, S-E-E-N podcast on the RHAP network. We are bringing True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP. We dropped our first and second episode. We have Bad Vegan review over there on a crossover episode with Nothing But Netflix. And then we also had an episode where we reviewed a Unsolved Mysteries, and a really old episode of Unsolved Mysteries. So go check us out. You can find our podcast by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. That way you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out. It's where we will just be basically reviewing true crime documentaries, docuseries. It's like we're not about to solve any murders over there. We're just going to be talking about we're just going to be talking about different true crime stuff that we watch and rate it on how they presented the case, how they talked about the victim, how it was covered in the news, stuff like that. So please go check us out over there. And I just remembered, Lo, you said you like reality TV. What are some of your favorite reality TV shows, real quick?
I like Love is Blind. I go back and watch some of the older stuff. So I went back and watched Flavor of Love like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Rock of Love, Daisy of Love, Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My friend did tell me to check out Love Island as well as. Mm-hmm. There's another one she told me to check out. She gave me like a whole list. So I still have to go back in and check those. But Love is Blind currently.
Awesome. Yes. If you are looking to listen to a few podcasts about reality TV, hopefully you can go on and check out the Reality TV Wrap Ups feed for Rob Has a Podcast. That's like what our network does. We do reality TV. So yeah, go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe so you can find all of your reality TV podcasts. And
I will just mention really quickly, we have a number of like of love or not of love. So thankfully, look, if there was an of love podcast feed covering Flavor of Love and all of that, I better be there. But I will say there's the hot, it's called the Hot Dummies Hot on Dummies. Islands podcast feed, mm-hmm. Over there. So we have, check it out. RHAP, lots of coverage, friends in your head talking about shows you love in case you're ever looking for those low. But, thanks again for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thing with us.
All right. Thank you for coming on the Wrestling Wrap Up. And remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Come up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling Little Rehab Bub's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flushed in the air, huh? Rumble rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling Little Rehab Bub's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.